It's Wednesday, October 29th, 2025. We just caught the globals with their pants down. InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Well, we're now entering the 282nd day of the return of the American Republic, and the fireworks and the sparks are a-flying. And we just had the ultra-massive hurricane smash into Jamaica, and then Cuba, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, that island formerly known as Hispaniola. A lot of death, a lot of destruction. Certainly pray for those folks. Monster Melissa directed Jamaica, hell bent at 185 miles an hour. Mass destruction, storm of the century. And this time it's not hype. We've actually, since the late 90s, had the slowest hurricane seasons on record. But the media still hyped it up and lied about that. Said, oh, global warming, record storms. No, 185 miles an hour is a typhoon. Now, typhoons are in the Pacific, and they turn the other direction, just like toilets turn the other direction, you know, water going into a whirlpool. All deals with the gravity and the Earth spin. But typhoons get up to 185. I've never heard of a hurricane hitting 185. And that was picked up by sensors all over the place. So that is not hype. That is the big Mac Daddy Kahuna. Now, it's broken up quite a bit and slowed down, but pray for those folks because that is a devastator. We've got more of the footage of the carnage and, you know, all of it, unfortunately, coming up. But yesterday afternoon, our great morning host and investigative journalist, she's worked at Fox News, you name it, Brianna Morello, is calling Rob Dew up because she works early in the morning and leaves by about 1. And she says, hey, I just got this from the DOJ, and I was just getting off air. It hasn't broke yet. And I just got this from Jim Jordan's committee via Senator Grassley's committee. I gave it to her literally first. That's how dialed in she is. And Alex is listed in here in Arctic Frost. Remember, it was the 8 senators and members of Congress. Now it's more senators. But here's what we did. I talked to a couple different FBI sources last night and this morning off all the codes that are in this huge hundreds of pages of documents. This is just some of it. And it's all scrambled with codes and blacked out. But FBI agents that are in key areas, because it's all compartmentalized, know how to read what these mean. So I was told that it meant it was a giant dragnet, not just January 6th stuff or question the election. Oh, how illegal is that? Because they knew we were innocent of, you know, actually trying to attack the Capitol. They were the ones that did it, the Fed's insurrection, the Democrat staged false flag. No, it was for stocks and bonds and money laundering and gambling and drugs, and it's everything. They sent these orders out under Jack Smith to all the FBI agents, all the FBI field offices of the country, and they said, find crime. And in my case, this is the one case we know because I don't know about all these other individuals, they did not have a warrant for the contents of my, quote, cell phone that is listed they have here. Now, we know how they got it. Through their Justice Department, Democrat Party lawsuits against me and the rest of it, and then handing that over to Smith. But the point is that this broke yesterday through InfoWars reporter and Pentagon reporter, Brianna Morello. Then about an hour later, Jim Jordan indeed released some of the documents and all the documents last night, or all in the new tranche. And it is a giant illegal dragnet against members of the Senate, the House, Trump's orbit, journalists, you name it. Just scandal of scandals. Absolutely illegal to make Richard Nixon blush. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Methylene red is the ultimate complement to methylene blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel methylene blue, you feel this. So
look at this.
Here's your normal methylene blue, right? Look at methylene red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to this Wednesday, October 29th, 2025 transmission. I am your battle host, Alex Jones. This broadcast is going to be particularly historic. Overhead shot, please. Look at who we have as guest today. Investigative journalist Brianna Morello with the latest insanely important groundbreaking bombshell developments in Arctic frost. Nick Fuentes on all the big world developments taking place and the aftermath of his gigantic Tucker Carlson interview. Constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes on the waterfront. FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin. Roger Stone. That's quite the lineup today. Now, as usual, and I get it, they're very busy, the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate Judiciary Committee, Grassley, have come out and said, oh, it's terrible. Arctic frost. Here's all these new documents we're releasing. Hundreds of pages we have right here. Turns out they were spying on Trump's law firms, people in Trump's orbit, in some cases without warrants, in my case. And then why is it up to us to actually go read the codes in here of what the investigation meant and break this? I'm not saying, oh, we're so smart. No, it's the opposite. It's frightening. It's worse than what they're saying. It's not just a J6 dragnet to find us doing something wrong on J6 that, of course, didn't happen, so they could never charge us. It is a dragnet for stocks and bonds and gambling and money laundering and anything they could find to all the FBI field offices of the country. That's exactly what Ed Martin months ago said, is that Jack Smith wanted to put thousands of Trump supporters in prison, but obviously because him being in the Justice Department, they couldn't release that information. It had to go through Congress, and now we're getting it. And, of course, Ed Martin is all over the document, Steve Bannon, myself. But so far, and I'm sure there's others, I just don't know the particular details, I am the only person enlisted here out of 150, and I'm in the main top 40, the main targets, according to the document, where there was no warrant to obtain not just phone records, but my text messages and more. And I remember fighting their subpoena on the J6 fake committee that was ruled to be fake and illegal. They had to pardon themselves. They committed all those crimes, falsifying evidence, rigging testimony, and all that. I told them back when I testified to them, somebody answer your questions. Taking the fifth, not because of self-incrimination, but because you're criminals. I looked at Adam Schiff and I said, you're a crook. You've already been caught faking emails and witness tampering. I said, you're going to go to prison. Notice they destroyed my testimony and 90+% of the other testimonies. They didn't like what I said. They didn't like it one bit. I told them, you're crooks, you're behind the attack. And of course, it's all come out. They were Nancy Pelosi, all of them. So I want to go through some of this. I'm not going to spend the whole day on it, but I'm going to pop in with Brianna Morello on it, who broke it, was first to get it. And then I'm going to speak some with Kyle Serafin on it, who's an expert, former FBI agent, understands this. But that I called him to get his expertise on this. He said, listen, that's important. I'm happy to. But he said, this other thing that's going on, this is what you need to know. They got rid of the one FBI agent who was at one level over Arctic Frost. But his boss is still there, so we're going to spotlight this creature here today. And then Roger Stone, so much more. Nick Fuentes coming up next hour. This is a broadcast you don't want to miss. And remember, you're the Paul Revere's. So be sure and share the live feed from Rumble on the Alex Jones Network feed. Share the live feed from Alex Jones on X, the backup feed at AJN Live for Alex Jones Network at AJN Live. We'll put that link up on screen for you at AJN Live on X. And know that they have appointed a month ago the receiver from the state court. And the receiver was here 2 weeks ago and here most of the day yesterday. And is deciding when to close the doors. So I don't have any details of that. I don't know. He said it could be, 2 weeks from now is the quickest. Christmas, the latest. What a Christmas present. And I don't blame the receiver and the thing. He's not the corrupt judge. He's not the kangaroo court. He's just doing his job. I'm not going to be mean about that. Plus, it's like talking to a robot. So literally, the guy's like a robot. Nothing against him. It's like talking to a little robot. So I'm just... That's where we are. We fought. It exposed the corruption of the system. We're going to go on and fight even harder. But this is all the Democrat Party, DOJ, that ran this, that controlled this, that did all this. And they tried to use the bankruptcy process to do a fake auction to sell it to Bloomberg and The Onion and shut us down and did all the rest of their crap. And I can tell you, though, you add this new Arctic Frost information where you have Jack Smith involved with the Sybil case against me and the Democrat Party, the DOJ was running. We caught him. That's how they got the cell phone, which they couldn't get my subpoena because I beat it. And there was nothing in the phone. Didn't do anything wrong, but I just, as a matter of conscience and a matter of honor, I didn't comply with them. And so... I did tell him, if you want me to sign a sworn statement, my lawyers reviewed my phone from that year, and that there's nothing there. And I even said, if you just want me to pull things that say J6, I said I might comply with that because there's nothing there. We didn't do anything. Oh, us trying to stop people going in the building, all the rest of it. But I said, no, you're not getting my whole phone and my sources. It's not happening. They're like, well, we're going to indict you then, and they did indict me in D.C. Even the Washington Post reported this a few years ago. And then Merrick Garland said it's too political and killed it. Not that he's my buddy. It was just in the Washington Post that, well, he was like, well, Jones is up there on top of a truck. It wasn't a truck. It was a pile of chairs. Saying, don't go in the building. And they killed my indictment. So that's how intense and how crazy and how just out of control all of this has been. And the only reason I'm still alive or on air or not in prison is because of your support and your prayer. And, of course, in the final equation, God. So I'm very, very thankful for all of your prayer, your word of mouth, and your support because we're all in this together. But it's not just the FBI agents I talked to. And you can hand put in these codes and find this yourself. The codes, most of it's blacked out, the latest Arctic Frost stuff. See, about 60%. Still a lot there, though. But you feed it into ChatGPT and say, what are these codes? What does this say? And ChatGPT tells you mass dragnet for any crime of any type, not related. Alex Jones targeted politically. Alex Jones innocent. I mean, it's just crazy to have Grok and ChatGPT saying that. Because what's nuts is I'm talking to FBI agents, they're telling me the same thing. And they're just beginning to process it, and you can shove it in the computer, and it tells you this stuff. Now, if you ask ChatGPT who George Washington was, it'll show you, at least it used to, a black man. So it's got its political correctness, and so does Gemini and Google, but still amazing if it's, you know, when it's not being tainted. So this is a beyond a scandal. And then you've got the auto pen on top of that, on a silver platter, the absolute corruption. Most of the cabinet officials wouldn't even see Biden but once a month or so, every few weeks. You had a committee. That's why Stone's coming on. We played it a few months ago. The archivist found it right when Biden was president-elect. Roger said, from my sources, they got a alternate White House, which they admit they had, headquarters for Obama, about a mile and a half from the White House, and they've got a committee that's going to run everything by auto pen. And he had that from inside. And now, years later, we have the chief of staff going, yeah, I don't want to go to prison. Yeah, I was getting $4 million bonuses if I did this. Yeah. We go to the committee and decide what bills to sign and what executive orders. And then this committee of Hillary Clinton and Obama and Jill Biden and a few other chief aides. And sometimes you wouldn't be able to get, you know, Obama or Hillary on the phone. So their aides would just decide. Turns out, two signatures of Biden in the record have been found to not be auto pens. So, this was an illegitimate coup d'etat. Well, yeah, they stole the 2020 election. That's all been proven. Tried to put you in jail if you questioned it or investigate it. Ran the hoax over and over again that, oh, no evidence ever found. None of the courts would hear the evidence. Bill Barr was running around behind Trump's back making sure they didn't. So it's been delivered to them on a silver platter. So here's Jim Jordan speaking a little bit about how wider this Arctic Frost dragnet was. He's talking about how wide the dragnet was, but no, it was a dragnet for any crime. And again, the massive takeaway is hundreds of Republicans targeted, patriots, people that the bad guys know are hardcore, that can't be bought off, can't be intimidated. I mean, it is a badge of honor to be listed. I mean, and to always be on all the list. I mean, it's just, but I mean, that's what I signed on for. I said 30 years ago, I want to be like John Hancock. I'm signing it big and bold, not because I'm looking for trouble, but if you're going to sign your own potential death warrant, why not sign it big and bold? If you're going to go hard. That's where the universe works. God doesn't like cowards, folks. And so, my problem is I don't have fear anymore. I had a little bit of fear when I was a little child of watching a monster movie with the, you know, over your neighbor's house. I remember being like 8 years old when cable first came out. We didn't have cable. The neighbor had cable. And I'm watching Alien over there with the babysitter. I'm just like, this is scary as hell. And then, like, I saw The Thing a few years later, and we had a Labrador Retriever. And, you know, in the movie, the alien's taking over the husky, and it kind of transformed him. We're like, look at the dog at the end of my bed, who I love. I'm like, you're not going to turn into a monster, are you? But I haven't had fear since I was about 10 years old of any really type. It's actually kind of a problem for me because it's good to have a little fear to be on your toes. But now I just have focus and anger and dedication and anger that I'm not strong enough. Angry that I get run out of energy, frustrated that I can't crush the enemy better. Now, I still have fear at the edge of a cliff or whatever. They have this awesome place in Big Bend in the park called The Window, and you hike about 3 miles down, and it's this opening all carved by the water and wind, all like solid granite, marble-like. You can get right up to the edge and just put your feet down and be hanging out over that thing, and that'll give you the willies. But I'm not saying, oh, I'm tough, I don't have fear. I have resistance to failure, resistance to being a slave. It's worse than fear. I become disgusted, and my brain feels like a ashtray or something. I feel dirty. I feel pathetic. I kind of like fear compared to that feeling. Instead of just like electricity shooting through my brain, just, ah, I'm going to get you, ah, all the time. When I sleep at night, when I get up in the morning, it's just fight, 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 fight. Then I see other people that don't even seem to be awake. I feel sorry for them, but I'm digressing and I'm going to stop preaching. So here's a clip from Jim Jordan. Then there's another one from Representative James Comer demands Pam Bondi take steps to invalidate all of Joe Biden's pardons and executive orders signed by AutoPen because under the U.S. law, it's illegal. You can delegate that I agree with this law. I'm on a helicopter using AutoPen. And they have to create a note of it, when it was said, when it was done, and that's attached to it. You can't just say, oh, I'm at the beach. I don't even know who I am. You guys do whatever you want. They admit it was a committee. We didn't elect that committee. We didn't elect him either, but this is cut and dry. Here's both the clips.
Then with Jack Smith, what we've learned is it was much broader, much more expansive than we ever thought. And remember, this is the same Jack Smith who put the gag order on President Trump, who raided his home. This is the same Jack Smith whose two deputies came in front of our committee and took the fifth 71 and 73 times respectively. This is the same Jack Smith who we already know spied on 8 United States senators. Now we learn all this. And this is why we want Jack Smith in front of our committee in a deposition format after we get the documents, and we can ask him some of the same questions we ask his deputies that they took the fifth to, like a simple question. Was this a political operation you guys are running against President Trump? I exercised my Fifth Amendment liberties. How many other members of Congress did you spy on? I exercised my Fifth Amendment liberties. Those are the kind of questions we want to ask Jack Smith and see what kind of answers we get from the guy who ran this whole operation.
Yes, and I think that the DOJ needs to take this and run. John, we've handed this to Pam Bondi on a silver platter. Yep, we've sure done did. All the heavy lifting. We've done the depositions. We've combed through the emails. I mean, this is the hard, tedious work of an investigation. Now it's up to her to bring these people in. If there's anything in the report that's inaccurate, if there's anything in the deposition that we reported that are mischaracterized, now here's your opportunity to try to defend the other position. If not, then the report is 100% accurate, and the pardons need to be declared null and void immediately. I would go further, but now this is me, and I would hold some of these people accountable for misrepresenting the president's health and for abusing their power as a bureaucrat in the White House that was essentially forging the president's name on pardons. I mean, you could ask a lot of questions. I know some of the people that were pardoned from Kentucky. These are wealthy Democrat donors. We heard from Jeff Zients that Hunter Biden was in the room where the decision-making was taking place on the pardon. Look, I don't think we need to say any more on this show about Hunter Biden being in the room with pardons when people have the potential to maybe be paying for pardons. We didn't go that route. We just tried to investigate the AutoPen and the president's health and mental fitness. But I think the Department of Justice could go a lot further. I mean, to have Hunter Biden in the room talking about any pardons, I mean, that's pretty bad in itself. But a guy that we proved, John, and you all have reported on many times, was taking money from our adversaries around the world, peddling access for his father's position as vice president of the United States. Having him in the room when you're issuing thousands of pardons with the AutoPen, I mean, that's suspicious in itself.
Have you ever heard of a signing bonus or a performance bonus if the president wins re-election, his advisor gets a check for $4 million?
Yeah, it's outrageous, Jesse, but it really does raise the question, who was making the money here? Because here's the thing I notice about Comer's report. Hunter Biden is in a bunch of these meetings. Now, Hunter Biden doesn't go anywhere where there's not money involved. So I just want to know, like, how many Hunter Biden paintings, how many masterpieces did Anthony Fauci have to buy in order to get his pardon? What about Liz Cheney? Like, what did she have to pony up in order to get her pardon? I mean, you know that there's an angle on this thing. Follow the money. Somebody's making a lot of money here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for being here with us today. Remember, you're the Paul Revere. Share the live feeds. Tell folks about the local radio stations. Tell those you share the feeds with to share it. Tell them to share it with those they share it, because that creates the chain reaction, which is a big deal, the biggest deal. Now, I'm going to go to break here in a few minutes, and I'm going to come and get it into the actual documents of the new Arctic Frost information. This is the coup d'etat, another big piece of it against America. This is the illegal dragnet. This is the persecution. and this is the entire FBI turned loose with literal bounties to put us all in prison, including yours truly, and to find any crime. And they couldn't find anything. Just like they can never get any Trump official, even low level, to take money from the Russians. They tried to get me to take money from the Russians, and I went and reported to the FBI because it was the FBI and CIA doing it. And that's a sealed piece of information. The FBI knows about it because we went in there. And we told them, stop it. So this is terrorism against the people. But they couldn't find one Trump defender, talk show host, lawyer, administration official to be unpatriotic. They offered me $3 million. I said, I know this is a setup right there on the spot. They were shaken. And they couldn't find one person in the Trump administration to do the same thing. They even used sex ops, hot chicks on people. Not even a piece of hot ass could get people to sell out. But with the Democrats, just wall-to-wall criminal activity. In the old days, Republicans maybe committed about 10% of the crime. It was here and there. It was usually because they were pedos. Now the new Republican Party, 98% clean. You got Lindsey Graham with his fat war foundations and gets a bunch of USAID money. There's a few others. Mitch McConnell, super corrupt Chi-Com agent with his wife. The justice is, you know, catching up to them and her sister. But this is a new sheriff in town. And the Democrats are totally evil and corrupt, other than like Fetterman, who's smart enough to jump ship, and a few others. I'd say they're like 98% corrupt. And the Republicans are 98% not corrupt, but about 50% wimps. About half of them are still wimps. I'll take, though, that over the Democrats. And we're going to continue to reform the Republican Party. So what I'm telling you is, I need your support. When you support me, you support your own future, your own rights, your own liberties. You're crazy if you don't share the feeds of the show. You're nuts if you don't share the articles and videos. Seriously. Those of you that do, you're awesome. Those that don't, we're in this together. Let's go, guys. But we got a limited supply of the new Ultra Methylene Red that complements Methylene Blue, or by itself gives you clarity, focus, you name it. Take an hour to go and everything that's in it. The bottle, for the same price, is twice the size of Ultra Methylene Blue. It is insanely good for you and works with Methylene Blue or without. We got a limited run of this made right here in America. It'll be sold out for a month or so. Current sales rates, it'll be sold out by Sunday night. Despite that fact, it's still 50% off when you subscribe. You can cancel any time, but that means you subscribe, and each month it mails it to you again. You get 50% off, or just be a subscriber, cancel anytime you want. Become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel anytime, get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales. Everybody should become a VIP, but go read the ingredients that are in this. I did an interview with Chase about it yesterday, spent like 15 minutes on the ingredients. It is incredible. And it funds this operation. All you got to do is try Ultramethylene Blue or Ultramethylene Red, the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, any of it, to see how great it works to become a regular customer. And that's what I want, is a relationship with you together into the future. That's why I only sell you the best. All you got to do is believe me. Look at our information. It's the best. Look how evil targets us like no other, because we're good. Go to thealexandthestore.com right now. Secure your Methylene Red.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, can I actually feel it? Same way you feel Methylene Blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at it.
Here's your normal Methylene Blue, right? Look at Methylene Red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, This is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you, whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species. It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
And now the app's not just available on Apple, but shooting up the charts.
We now take you live
on Droid
to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance.
Rallying patriots.
Rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Go to the Alex Jones app, one word, AlexJonesApp.com. And you can download it for free on Apple or Android. It's in the top of the charts now on both. And on top of all the discounts at thealexjonesstore.com, you get an additional 20% off on everything at checkout if you use the shopping cart. It's the same shopping cart, but through the Droid or Apple app. That is insane. But we really want to encourage people to use the app and share the app, especially with InfoWars very close to being shut down. We have the Alex Jones Network built. We have the bigger studios being built. We have all this exciting stuff. We tend to go about 19 hours a day live once they can't attack anything I build. But when I'm working for somebody else as the news director, it's going to be spectacular. We're going to have folks with us like Brianna Morello, who is a seasoned reporter. She started out in Major League Baseball coverage, and then she's been on Fox News, Newsmax, as a reporter, as well as various local news outlets. And she has got so many incredible contacts. Her tenure as a Fox producer was brought to an untimely end due to principled opposition to New York City's COVID-19 mandates that stand for medical freedom and personal liberty. Today, she continues her commitment to truth and fearless reporting as an independent journalist and the host of the American Journal, dedicated to voices and stories often overlooked by the mainstream. She was already a frequent guest and filling in for us, and it's great to have her here at Brianna Morello on X. And let me tell you, this lady has got the contacts. She broke yesterday, an hour and a half before the Judiciary Committee released the information, Jim Jordan, one of the biggest bombshells yet, and there's been so many from Tulsi Gabbard's and from these committees, both Grassley's committee in the Senate and Jordan's committee in the House, of Arctic Frost and Cross for Hurricane, but now giant, hundreds of pages of Arctic Frost. Jim Jordan committee released this with Jack Smith not just going after lawyers and people involved questioning the election, which is totally legal, but going after Steve Bannon, people like Ed Martin, people like yours truly without a warrant, getting my cell phone contents. And now we fed this into ChatGPT. I also checked with two FBI agents because so much of it's blacked out. The codes, though, tell you what it is. They threw the kitchen sink. This was money laundering investigations, gambling investigations. This was insider trading investigations. This was FBI field officers nationwide told, don't look at January 6th. They knew they'd staged it. They knew we didn't do it. It was find something on them. And they came up with, again, zero. Just like Russiagate. They have got a real problem with Trump's Republican Party because you may have some cowards. You may have some dummies in there. But, I mean, you know, you got Jasmine Crockett just got caught with secret stock portfolio. She never declared that she's still running. Felonies out the ass. I mean, that's just who they, and they keep thinking like, oh, Trump, you're involved in mortgage fraud. Meanwhile, Letitia James is a master of it. So Brianna Morello, thank you so much for being here. I want to get your take and perspective on this. I'm going to show what ChatGPT and Grok both said when we fed this document through it today. Again, I checked with humans first, then I want to see what they said. And the AI said the same thing. This was a giant dragnet looking for everything, including the kitchen sink, and they found nothing.
Yeah, they found nothing. And they were accusing those within the Trump administration and close Trump allies of being criminals, when in fact that wasn't the case. They could have made anything stick. One would have thought it would have been something like these charges that they were trying to bring about, but they weren't able to do just that. A lot of these names that were dropped in the Arctic Frost document dump that came from the Judiciary House Committee yesterday, Chairman Jim Jordan's drop yesterday, outline everything we've kind of already heard about so far. But we're learning more about what Arctic Frost was doing, who it was targeting specifically.
We're learning it was much wider.
It was much, much wider. Potentially 111 new names of people they were trying to go after. I even saw Harmy Dillon, her law firm, was wrapped up into this as well. A lot of these individuals were getting their financial records grabbed up by this so-called special prosecutor. Now, interesting enough, Alex, your name was dropped in this, and I think that's the key point to this. I talked about it on my show. Barack Obama, when he was occupying the White House, he targeted journalists to find out who their sources were whenever they were covering something.
Well, they say Alex Jones's cell phone contents.
Yes.
Target. It's all a target system.
Correct. And we're going to find out more about that. Specifically, what did they send over? I look forward to digging into that as well. But it's about, well, were they trying to target your sources? Were you working on a store and they wanted to see who was Alex Jones speaking to? Because, again, they went around very creative.
Well, I know they tried to subpoena it, and there was nothing to hide, but
yeah.
I checked actually yesterday. We spent over $20,000. It took lawyers back and forth, hearings in D.C., $20,000+ to beat the subpoena. Mm-hmm. And I said, because I'm not giving them. It's not, you know, because they wanted the whole thing. And I said, no. So they just somehow, got it.
Well, Alex, I actually, and this is a little off topic, I had the same feeling when I was working for a company, and they were being sued by an election systems company, and they were asking all of us to hand over our personal devices so that they could make forensic copies. Now, I didn't do so. and I went about getting an attorney to make sure I didn't have to do so. But that's what they do. They do just this. They try to go about obtaining your records and to bring it into the federal government. That's what always my gut feeling was on this front.
Oh, they do. These big Democrat Party law firms, Paul Weiss, all of them, they use other civil cases to vacuum everything up, and they hand it over to the DOJ illegally.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Total civil rights violation.
Total civil rights violation. You can't even defend yourself at that point. You can't even say, hold on a second, I don't want them getting access to that. Let me try to put an end to it. Now, we see this as it was outlined throughout. Let me just drop some names that popped up in yesterday's document dump, by the way. It was Mark Meadows, Steve Bannon, Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman. And then there were other potentials, like you mentioned, Ed Martin, Jeff Rosen, Bernard Carrick, who sadly is no longer with us. They were all listed in this new document dump as well.
That's the former New York police commissioner.
Yes, and he was working hand in hand with Rudy Giuliani during their state-to-state election challenge back in 2020. So I'm sure it had to do with that. They weren't happy that Rudy Giuliani was hired by the president to go out there and try to defend him on his election stance and all of this. And Bernie Carrick was by their side and all that. So that's what they were doing. They were going after the attorneys. And this is just not about President Trump. Again, I want to make this a bigger picture, too. Yes, this was a wide net that they were trying to cast here, but they want to make sure moving forward that if you ever have, as a candidate, want to challenge an election, that you will never find a lawyer willing to do just that.
Well, Norm Eisen and all of them, when Trump got reelected, said, any lawyers work for Trump, anybody, we're going to take your license and put you in prison when we're back in.
Yeah.
So they're openly like thugs. Hey, you Americans, you sit down and you shut up or it's over for you.
Yeah, and they did just that. I mean, they sadly have bankrupted Rudy Giuliani, and that is just upsetting. I mean, they even went after his World Series Yankee rings. I mean, this.
Well, they did it to me.
Yeah, yeah. As you know, it's the lawfare that's unbearable, and so many people are fighting back on this front. But again, it just goes to the great lengths that they went to. Now the key point now that we're learning about all of this is how the special prosecutor's office was also utilizing the FBI field offices. There were several interviews that were conducted by the field offices. Now, when you're a special prosecutor, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're supposed to be handling all that on your own. But they were, again, using the FBI at their fingertips, and they were using it quite freely. This did cost taxpayers, though, a chunk of change. For 40 interviews that were conducted, it cost Americans about, well over $16,000. So that's where some of your money went to, of course. It just highlights the fact that they were doing all of this. Now, I want to also highlight Jeff Clark's case, because Jeff Clark was working over the DOJ. He was working under Bill Barr. He ran two divisions. He simply was well aware there were election fraud tips coming in and simply wanted to see if the president wanted them to investigate those. And they went after him. He was one of the co-conspirators indicted in Fulton County, I believe. He is also somebody who received an FBI raid. They tried to embarrass him by pulling him out of his home. They did so much to this man. They're still trying to go after him through disbarring him in Washington, D.C. as well. But this document clears him as well, because it says that there was a letter that was suggested to potentially go to Georgia, which outlined the alleged election fraud that they had outlined, and that President Trump didn't actually want him to send that letter and stopped it there. So again, he was listed as a co-defendant, I should say, in that Fulton County case. They knew all along that Jeff Clark never sent that letter and he wasn't accused of any actual crimes, but they still went after him. They're still going after him today.
Well, here's just a microcosm, and I'm writing myself into this. I'm not like Hunter S. Thompson where he did it on purpose. It's because I'm a witness. I've experienced it. They subpoenaed all my phone records, all my everything in the fake Sandy Hook lawsuits. Never said what they said. I said I was found guilty. I gave all my lawyers my cell phones. They went and grabbed all the data out. One accidentally sent a year of a phone. That's how they later got it. There was nothing there. But there was a few text messages from Joe Rogan saying, how's the Sandy Hook thing going? And I said, oh, it's all a bunch of bull. It's okay. It's lawfare. Now, that was it. They used that to start trying to subpoena him behind the scenes, harass him, threatening him. And they basically even said to him, well, don't have Alex on and we'll leave you alone. So my point is, this is the DOJ using this whole thing to find any names they can to then harass other prominent people. It's stalking. This is all industrial level criminal stalking.
Yeah, well, they probably didn't want you to go back on Joe Rogan's show. It has a massive platform. People that normally might not tune into InfoWars will tune into Joe Rogan's show, and they don't want you to reach that audience. So, yeah, I'd say that it's a massive First Amendment violation as well, the free speech angle to all of this.
Well, just imagine it's 1960. And you're Martin Luther King, and there were cell phones then, and the KKK sues Martin Luther King and gets his cell phone. What are they going to do with his cell phone? They're going to harass everybody in his orbit. And that's basically what this is.
Yeah, it's a bullying tactic, right? Because they're going to say, oh, well, look what we did to Alex. That could be you next. And if Joe Rogan wasn't a good friend of yours, he actually might fall for something.
Yeah, no, he told me about it all and everything else. But yeah, he was just like, geez, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
So they're like literally calling up, threatening him and his lawyers.
It's just so infuriating, right? Because, Alex, they're not doing anything to prevent this from happening in the future either. I mean, what have we done to make this a preventative so this doesn't happen to others? The Supreme Court not weighing in on your case either, which was, I think, was actually a disgrace to our country. Because the reality of it is, Alex, so much has started with you. Censorship started with you. When they started censoring you and saying, oh, you said some things, and they use that as the valid reason to push forward. And then everyone else, that net started widening, and everyone else who was critical of the COVID jabs.
Exactly. Once, and they said this in 2018. They said, when they don't stand up for Jones, these aren't official white papers from Democrats, we're going to go after everybody. But that's another microcosm of that. Like last year, Aaron Rodgers is on Rogan and says, Alex Jones didn't even say the things he said about that. But even if he did, he has the right to say it. Those law firms went out and said, Aaron Rodgers, we're looking to sue you. F around, find out. So Aaron Rodgers just defended me, and they threatened him. Again, it's pure thuggery.
Yeah, it is. And it's totally egregious.
By the way, the lawyer that did that is the former U.S. prosecutor whose specialty is putting innocent Republicans in prison in Connecticut.
Yeah. I mean, no surprise there. These are what these people do. They're hateful. They've got the system figured out where they could figure out ways to go after not only you, but those who defend you. And I think that's disgusting in itself.
Oh, but we can't get into it in full record, but you've got a lot of DOJ sources. They think they've gotten away with it. They haven't.
Yeah. Well, they haven't gotten away with it. And I think that's the key point in all of this. You know, we know behind the scenes there's been a lot of disappointments in regards to the AG and the deputy AG, Todd Blanche. Now, again, we've tried our very best to hold the DOJ's feet to the fire on going out there and holding key people accountable. And so far, we haven't seen much movement on that. But, you know, Alex, we're not going to stop anytime soon. We're going to keep pushing for this because this all needs to be looked into. This doesn't end with you, Alex. This continues on to others.
Well, I agree. But just imagine Aaron Rodgers. Well, we all know Alex. We can play the clip we just put on screen. Alex didn't really even say that. But even what they say, he said he has a right. They're like, watch out, son of a bitch. We'll get you, too. I mean, they're just pure thuggery.
Yeah, it's free speech, too. He could say whatever he wants to say. They just don't want him to say it. Because once somebody like Rodgers comes out and says something, he's got obviously a very big platform as well. People in the sports world love him dearly. They don't want your message expanding. They've been able to control the narrative up to this point. And if it gets any further, if it gets out of control, they can't do that. So, yes, I think that's disgusting that they did that in the first place.
Well, who's vindicated on not taking the shot? Brianna Morello, Aaron Rodgers, or Anthony Fauci?
Yeah. Thankfully, I mean, not taking the jab, we're all functioning. We're doing well. I feel bad for those who didn't listen up. I tried my best to save people, Alex. I mean, I literally was citing your work. Dr. Naomi Wolf's
people that don't remember that was you got fired over this. Tell people what happened to you.
Yeah, Fox Corp actually pushed me out. I was over there. They had actually moved me down under the phone call that I took a few weeks before. Well, I went from Florida to the New York City office. I moved up technically, and I was told no, we want to get you in. We'll get you to produce Tucker Carlson's show once the slot opens up. So don't worry, just make sure you're in the area. We need you here. And that was the agreement that we had originally had agreed to. It wasn't until the day I moved in, I got a message forward to me from someone over at Human Resources saying if I didn't take the jab due to the New York City private sector vaccine mandate, that I was going to be put on unpaid leave. Then it also incentivized me to take the jab for a couple of $100. They were going to throw me a bonus if I got the jab by their deadline. Now, obviously, I didn't do either. And I had my suspicions because I was...
Remember the mayor? I'll give you a burger.
I didn't go with the burger either.
I get a fry? So creepy.
So creepy.
It's like, hit the clown, stick your arm in here, Georgie.
Yeah. No, but that's what they went to all these insane lengths. And you're like, what the heck is going on here? Now, I wasn't somebody who read that deep into it, but I figured if you're trying to sell me on this, I probably shouldn't do it. And they didn't have any long-term research into it. And so I got the call that, you know, you could apply for an exemption if you want to. But I didn't want to apply for an exemption, Alex. I don't think we have to ask our government for permission if our medical background or disclose our medical backgrounds or even say what our religion is. That was always something that you could actually sue for in civil courts if your employer tries to discriminate against you in those cases. So, and we knew, too, the fact that Fox was pushing this private sector vaccine mandate onto me and to others, they knew that it was illegal because the Supreme Court already ruled that Joe Biden...
And now we know it was a purge in the military and everywhere else. They didn't make leftists do it.
No.
And Congress exempted itself. So we only got about 10 minutes left, but I want you to come back soon. You got to get here more. You're knocking it out of the park with the show. And the numbers were already great in the morning, but it's huge numbers. You're just totally kicking ass. All the great guests you have on, because you're not just an amazing talent and pundit and journalist. You are, I forgot, a star producer.
Thank you.
I mean, my goodness. You know, I'm telling you, you got your finger on the pulse. So... Let me just show, I'm going to get, after you leave, I've got lawyers coming on about this and FBI agents and people, but just a quick look. If you take this document, the latest Arctic Frost stuff, you got to be an FBI agent, and even most of them don't know because it's all compartmentalized. Some know this document, some know that. Obviously, they don't teach, you know, each area unless you're in that area what it means. And so we fed into ChatGPT and to Grok, what do these codes mean? And I didn't just believe this. I've checked with FBI agents what it means. They looked at stuff you'd expect, obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States, okay, mail fraud, campaign finance crime. So they're targeting members of the Senate and the House and state lawmakers with campaign finance crimes. So what does this have to do with, oh, we plan to attack the Capitol, which we actually know the Democrats did and set us up. I was there, folks. Money laundering, okay? Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, Bank Secrecy Act, conspiracy against rights. That's what they're doing to us. Civil rights violations. That's what we're about to go after them on. That's what they're under criminal investigation for. Yeah. Summary of key criminal codes referred. It goes on. Okay, so that's one ChatGPT search. We put in other parameters. It says, you know, but also gambling, gaming activities and financial transactions, campaign fund misuse allegations. This is what they're targeting lawmakers for, anything they can get, not Jan 6. Investigative gaps, and it goes on and on. Pennsylvania Republican primary leadership, Republican Party officials in other states. This is a total political attack, just like Ed Martin said 6 months ago, because he was already seeing all this. Now it's gone through Congress, so it's been released. This is insane. And again, what scares me is I'm sick of us always being ahead of the curve. It scares me. I don't want to be the guy ahead of the, I want to break 10% of the stories, not 90, but you know, you and others. It's just weird we keep doing it. Why didn't others think to stick this in ChatGPT or call the FBI? What does it really mean? Because it's got codes all over it. This is not just spying on their political enemies for J6. It's a huge criminal dragnet looking for everything, with all the FBI offices taking off real crime, human trafficking, fentanyl to this. This is a damn scandal of scandals. Holy Toledo. You talk about weaponization. This is the holy grail of proof here.
Yeah, Alex, it is. And this is why it's so important for people to be outraged by this, because what they were looking to do is to go after these politicians, to say to these politicians, we're going to charge you with all these crimes.
Well, they were going to blackmail them. They were trying to find something. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what they were going to do.
But you know, but they came up dry, didn't they?
They did. Well, because there weren't real crimes committed and they couldn't even cook those up. You know, I spoke with Enrique Tarrio once he got out of prison, and Tarrio told me that the DOJ tried to slide him a deal where he had to admit that he somehow, some way was communicating with President Trump through someone third party to orchestrate January 6th. Now, because Tarrio didn't do so, he was slammed with a 22-year prison sentence. That's likely what they were doing here. They were going after all the key players close to President
Trump. Oh, they came to Roger Stone and said, we'll drop all this if you just say, you know, Trump was working with WikiLeaks.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they look to do. And that's the reason why they're stacking up those charges. They're going after everyone who's close to President Trump. I mean, people who haven't even actually been near President Trump or indicted in that RICO case as well in Fulton County. These are people who were just simply door knockers who didn't even know the president. They wanted everyone. The lawfare, to keep in mind, they subpoenaed a lot of those attorneys, their finances. What were they looking to do? Well, obviously see if they could find a crime, but most importantly, see how much they could fight the lawfare that was going to come their way. Like people like Jeff Clark, Rudy Giuliani, the goal was to bankrupt them, and they want to see how much money they had to fight.
It's a multifaceted attack. And then when they subpoena them, they get everybody else's records and they attack them. But then if they can't get Alex Jones' records, because I fought him, I've just fought 100% flamethrower attack. Nothing against Giuliani. He's an old, smart guy, you know, great guy. But he caved in bankruptcy in 6 months. 3 years with us.
Yeah.
I mean, with me, I just say, I mean, literally, lawyers are like, you're spending 95% of the money that you would get. I'm just total war, attack. Because I know the long game's the key here. But notice everything that's come out now, more, and now they're all under criminal investigation. Yeah, the investigations aren't over, dumbasses. And it's we're closing in, we're winning. I can feel it.
Yeah, well, we have to win this because, again, it doesn't stop at Alex. It continues on. But most importantly, they can't win the battle. We cannot allow them to win this. The conquering of InfoWars is what the goal is, and so they could wave their flag over the building. But the reality is the audience has been so incredible over the years, Alex, to support you to keep this fight on and going and funding it.
Well, let's be clear. Exactly. The audience aren't an audience. They're activists. They are the InfoWar.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying it to pat you on the head, folks. You're it, baby. You're trying to put me in the game. I'm saying I'm putting you in the game.
Yeah, and that's what's so key about this, folks. If you don't have the funding, Alex, to fight these fights, it's gone, it's over with, and then they win. So the fact that we're able to still drag it on, still keep this ball rolling.
Exactly. They want us shut down. People say, oh, God, all this money. They come to me in court all the time, and they'll tell my lawyers, why don't you just give up? It'll be easier. give up and let you rape the country? We get it's a long war. George Washington lost the first 5 years of the war, won in the last. It's about perseverance. It's about going to the end. Yeah. That's how you win.
Yeah, and all the key players are going to have questions that they're going to have to answer. I mean, we're getting to the point where we've got some great people on our side who are looking into all of this.
Exactly. People that say it isn't moving quick enough, it didn't move an inch the first time. It's moved 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
And we got 10,000 miles to go, but guess what? It's moving.
Yeah, and I'm pressing all the key players in all of this to see who can help us out. So we'll continue to fight.
Well, here's the good part about it. People now realize it's a death battle. More people realize this isn't like a hobby to fight tyranny. So that's why they're going to lose. Good is finally waking up. It's over. It's going to be rough for us at the tip of the spear. They can destroy us. That'll scare everybody else, but they don't understand that when Santa Ana wiped out the Alamo, did that make the Texans give up?
Mm-mm.
And the opposite effect.
Yeah. Well, that's the other key thing here, too, Alex. I mean, you just talked about, too, how Joe Rogan and Rogers, all of them were jumping on board to help you out and just talk about what you were going through. I think that we've seen over the last few years that people who weren't stepping up to the plate are finally are because they realize that this is just isn't a fight for InfoWars. This isn't a fight for you. This is a fight for everyone throughout this country right now. And so many people who weren't in there from day one, I think, are jumping on board now to help you out.
Well, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, when Trump says they're not trying to get me, I'm standing in the way, they're trying to get you. That's the truth.
It is the truth, yeah.
And to me, we know of hundreds of investigations. You know there's others. They've never found anything. But you know, normal people, there's so many legal, good ways to make money. I don't even think about how do I run a scam? How do I get away with something? That's a criminal brain. You study criminology. We don't have criminal brains as Christians and populists. And so it's like, we don't ever realize how evil they are because we think they're like us, and then they think we're like them. It's a weird thing that happens.
Yeah, and they're trying to take us out. The reality of it is, too. I mean, we announced I'm getting access to the Pentagon. We announced that last week, and we made the announcement, and all of a sudden, all the corporate media heads are coming after me, trying to find any flaw to go after me and to try to get those credentials yanked. But this is what they do. They are evil, Alex.
Hold on. That was the subject I wanted you on last week, but you were too busy.
I know. I'm sorry.
You got to come back on the next few days. Well, let's do 5 more minutes ahead of Nick Fuentes. Be sure we post on X that Nick Fuentes is coming on about a bunch of stuff. I like Nick overall. I'm taking the woodshed on the Stalin love. That's something I didn't know. I think he's just trying to be contrarian. But seriously, we're about to go to break. I want to come back and talk about that because the White House came to us. We had a correspondent the first, you know, thing. But back then, they still controlled it, so they didn't go to the independents. Now it's great. Now you see real questions getting asked. So they'd already come to us, hey, when are you going to send a correspondent, when are you, whatever. But then the Pentagon obviously respects you. They came to you separately and want you up there, which is great. We totally endorse it and love it. And just hope you're here most of the time. You can host up there, you know, remotely. But they flip out. Oh my God, we will be inside the Pentagon. Hey, half the Pentagon's already listening, dumbasses. We're in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You idiots. They think if they keep you out of the Pentagon, that's some kind of victory. Now, of course, the Pentagon only wants you in there more, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we were breaking stories without access to the Pentagon, so we'll just keep breaking more.
But you're not blocked from the Pentagon. You're going.
No, we're going.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, you know, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
To finish up real quick with incredible investigative journalist Brianna Morello and host of the American Journal weekday mornings 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. right before my show with the American Journal. Now Harris has moved on, doing a fabulous job with the War Room. We could have correspondents in the White House. They already invited us. We had them before. We could have it in the Pentagon. We are been in bankruptcy. We don't have the money, okay? And so when Owen quit, we were able to, with the money we had, you know, bring another host. She's doing a great job. So, to the left in the Washington Post attacking everybody else, oh my God, an evil InfoWars connected person in there. The Pentagon, half of them are listening right now. The White House Situation Room listens to the show. Everybody's got the show up. Steve Bannon has it up. The idea that you guys are keeping us out of something, you wouldn't sign the agreement to stop not wearing badges and wandering into classified areas. And so it's good for them to bring in new media. And I'm hearing independent media ask such incredible questions. The Gateway Pundit, Lindell TV, Newsmax, all of them. And so I can't wait till you're up there. You're still going to be hosting here, you know, double duty. But getting into them going completely ape over this and throwing a giant temper tantrum, showing even the Washington Post and others don't even know how this works. And so tell us about it.
Well, they keep calling us like MAGA reporters or journalists or influencers making our way into the Pentagon. The reality of it is I have been actually fair when it comes to criticizing the Pentagon, and they know that. But I reach out for comment before I have an opinion on something just to make sure it's true. And there's been a couple of times when the mainstream media has put something out that's been inaccurate.
Really? I don't believe it.
I know, Alex. It's really hard to believe, but this is what's going on right now in the mainstream media. And hear me out, too. The worst part about all of this that I have to say is the simple fact that they have spent more time looking into my background, my credentials. I mean, they keep trying to call me a conspiracy theorist, even though I've broken some of the most important stories. And I have a corporate media background, but most importantly, I ditched all of that and was able to make it somehow on my own. They don't like that. The fact that I was the first one who had the cojones to talk about Tulsi Gabbard being added to a terror watch list, I broke that story, even told her team that she was added to the terror watch list for TSA. They didn't do that. The corporate media outlets had it before me, but they were too cowardly to report it because they didn't want to piss off the Biden regime. But I went forward and moved forward and reported that. So I have no problem being critical, though, of the current administration as well. So they're not doing this to kiss butt with us. They are doing this because they want new faces in there. Now, we've been discriminated against when it comes to the First Amendment. Under the Biden regime, I'd send emails. They never would respond to my emails. I actually have 2 lawsuits I'm personally paying right now against TSA and the Veterans Affairs for how they targeted J6ers and so much more. I actually just won my TSA lawsuit, so we're almost done. I'm going to close out that one soon. But the reality of it is the Biden regime violated our First Amendment rights when they didn't give us access into the Pentagon, into the White House, and into other agencies. So they want to sit there and they want to cry about us now having access. Well, truth be told, we should have had access a long time ago, and they never spoke up on our behalf. Also, to add this, as somebody who worked for Fox and was forced out of Fox Corp because I refused to take the jab, all of the mainstream media outlets, pretty much all of them, took money from HHS. The Biden regime gave them money to promote the jabs. They never disclosed that to their audience. They only had positive coverage of the jabs. Never gave them any of the medical background dangers of the jabs at all. They slanted their coverage. So when it comes to credibility in journalism, over these last 10 years, I've done a hell of a job. So they could piss off, Alex.
Well, you have. But again, they're the dinosaur media that's discredited, acting like they have the credibility. They say somebody's not credible. Everybody knows, oh, they say you're not credible? You must be. And again, the government has all these factions and groups, some good, some bad, some evil, some lazy. I get constant thank yous from the White House and the Pentagon. when I spotlight something I think is a problem, they go, hey, we were putting pressure on this. Thank you. Can you do more? There's good guys in there, good gals. We're there. We're all working together for the truth. People respect you when you expose real corruption that even ferrets out stuff of the Republicans. That's what we're doing. We are trying to purify ourselves here. Yeah. And people understand that. This isn't about taking score or political parties. It's about fixing the country.
Yeah. And I didn't need access to the Pentagon. Never asked for it. Never needed it. We just now have it, which is great. I have got that as an independent journalist, and I'm honored to do just that. But the reality of it is that I've been breaking stories without access into the administration, to the current and previous. And so this is only going to help us out significantly.
Brianna Morello on X, at Brianna Morello. Incredible job. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Central, American Journal. Nick Fuentes, straight ahead. Share the live feed now.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster, louder. Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes! He doesn't want you eating bugs. He wants you eating ribeye with lobster with him. Trump doesn't want big giant wars. That's stupid. No, Klaus Schwab and King Charles and Barack Obama want you eating bugs while they eat ribeye because they're feudalist, greedy, hateful, demonic trash. And you don't hate them enough. And you don't support the people fighting for you enough. I'm not saying that to everybody, but in general, you don't detest these people enough and you don't love the people fighting for you enough, because if you loved yourself, you would understand these people have a predatory hatred of you and your family. Just look at them. Look at Keir Starmer. Look at Macron. Look at these people. Look at Hillary Clinton. Just look at them. Look at George Soros. Look at Alexander Soros. Look! Their actions are pure evil, and they look like serial killers or something, because they are. Did you let Alexander Soros babysit your daughter or son? Married to Uba Abedin, the pedo handler for Wiener, he's some bad hombres. El Diablo, that's a bad man right there. Your cells know that's an enemy. Your skin crawls. And they know your skin crawls. They hate themselves and they hate you. They're projecting their hatred of themselves onto you. Well, guess what? I love myself and I love you. And Trump loves himself, and he loves you. I love you. They hate you. Now start loving yourself or start being a slave. God, it's so simple. You want about Nicholas J. Fuentes, but he's definitely on the cutting edge of culture. And I think what he does is very healthy, because the left and the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, has become ultra super anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, anti-white. And the answer to that is not groveling to it. The answer is saying, I'm not going to kowtow to your brainwashing, and I'm going to call you on what you're doing. That's the antidote in the Overton window. Doesn't mean I agree with every cheeky or edgelord, you know, comment that, you know, Nick engages in. But I find Nick very entertaining. I've known Nick 9 years and, you know, liked him at first, thought he was smart, whatever. But I think he's matured a lot. And so you can't judge him for what he's doing when he is way more polished and less hateful in his delivery than Hakeem Jeffries or you know, any of the Democrats, the ADL, Jasmine Crockett, any of it. You just can't say, well, this is terrible, when he, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're a 10, he's like a 5. It just doesn't float. And the way to counter radical, you know, hatred and garbage is not running up a white flag. That said, I always want to show the rabbit trick here. Okay, I'm not a magician. I show the tricks. And so in my perspective, and I think Nick's overall agree with it, I know what he's doing, and I think it's healthy. But that's not the angle I go with. I go always with 35,000 foot view. And Nick's always done that some too, but I've really, because I'm a fan of the show, I watch it, large sections of it almost daily. Quite frankly, I get up at 4 or 5 a.m. so I can't usually catch it live. Sometimes I'm waiting around for it and don't get to see it. But I am a listener, and as soon as the Tucker Carlson interview dropped, I sat there and, you know, put my 8-year-old daughter to bed and then watched 2 hours of it, watched the next 30 minutes in the morning. And it was powerful. There was a few things in there that I don't want to spend the whole show debating, like Joseph Stalin's good person things, cause I'm quite the historian. Nick's not a slouch, but we'll get to that, but I don't want to miss the forest for the trees. I want to cover a lot in the next hour and a half with him ahead of all these other big guests we've got. I want to do his reflection on the Tucker thing and what it's like, you know, after the big beef with those guys, where that's going, and what he thought about visiting Maine. So cool up there. And then I want to get his take, because I follow a lot of him, but I didn't really know his take on Venezuela. I totally agree with his take on Venezuela. It's a realist take, not a neocon take. A lot of idiots don't understand that. This is American doctrine. This is back to what we're supposed to do. I want to look at that. Not trying to talk about myself in this, but it's a big deal. We get the Arctic Frost documents yesterday, hundreds of pages, without a warrant. There I am being totally surveilled by these people, which I already knew. And that was my point to Nick months ago, because we don't talk a lot on the phone. We text a couple times a week, and, you know, maybe every few weeks talk on the phone for a few minutes. He's not a big phone person, just like I'm not. But I've called him a few times over the years, and I've said, listen, the Republicans got their problems. We got a beachhead there. I said, the Democrats hate your ass. They may act like they like you as Chris Christie and Trump. You've been targeted. Bill Barr, the documents came out 3 months ago, specifically on a list of only like 13, 14 people, had Nick above me on the list to be destroyed. Okay? When he was working for Trump, and then after, Trump didn't know. So I'm just simply saying that you know who's really bad, who's trying to totally put you in prison. And so I think we can reform the Republican Party. At least we have some shot there. There's no shot with the Democrats. They are rotting. They're beyond rotting. And so we can talk big picture about that. It doesn't mean we go along with bad elements of the Republican Party. It means we got pull here to actually turn them the directions we want. So why not be more optimistic and get what we can get out of something? It's not a lesser of evils. It's being a realist. So there's that. Anywhere else he wants to go. Nick, great to have you on Rumble at Nick J. Fuentes. Thanks for joining us on this live Wednesday, October 29th, 2025 transmission. Hope everybody watching on X and their platform shares the link, because that's what it's about to be, a Paul Revere as we battle the 1984 system with the spirit of 1776. But I threw out 5 or 6 topics there. What do you want to tackle first? I mean, maybe we should do Tucker Carlson first.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. We could get into that first.
Well, I don't know how I got the credit for setting it up, because, I mean, I do deserve the credit, actually. But no, I mean, I think you get in his grill, and then, you know, him calling me and wanting your number, and then you guys talking, and me, you know, me saying, you know, Nick's misunderstood. I think you're wrong about these things. I mean, yes, I was the catalyst, said you really need to interview him. But I don't know how that was ever discovered, because I didn't say that I was the catalyst. I wonder how that got out.
Well, you did tweet about it. You did say a couple weeks in advance, you said, it's coming. The interview's coming. Trust me. So maybe that's
was
why.
Asking. Maybe it was trending. When is Nick on? And I said, oh, okay, I guess I let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, so maybe that's the case. But no, but I appreciated it. Yeah, I think you're kind of the bridge. You're the mediator. And, you know, you had just talked with Tucker before, and I know you have a good relationship with him. And I think you recognized that maybe we were talking past each other. I think you were uniquely situated, not just to understand, but also to maybe, you know, arrange this. You understood that Tucker Carlson's America first. I'm America first. Maybe there's a generational divide. He's from the institutions. I'm from the outside. I'm from the wilderness out here. And I think that you recognize that there was a big opportunity for us to de-escalate this and not go for the jugular with each other, and actually just have a productive conversation about where we legitimately disagree. And part of that is you need to actually press the flesh. You need to sit down and get to know the other person and talk. and identify what each person actually believes and what you're about, you know, what each person is really about. And that's exactly what we did. We got dinner on Sunday night and we met for the first time ever. And we had talked on the phone over the summer, but very briefly. So this is the first time that we really sat down, got to know each other. We spent a few hours together for dinner. I thought we had a really fun, great conversation. I think he got an idea of who I am. I got an idea of who he is. Of course, things are lost in the transmission when you're in translation, but also in the transmission when you're live, when you're on a show. When you actually get to meet the person, you get the real measure of the man. As we got to know each other a little bit. And then the following day, we had our discussion, as everybody has seen and commentated on. And I think that what took place was a real conversation. It wasn't scripted. It wasn't contrary to what people say, don't think it was a softball, but it also wasn't a hit job. It also wasn't an ambush. I think he asked some challenging questions. There are areas of disagreement, but we talked about it. We talked about it openly and directly. And where we didn't understand, we asked for clarification. And, you know, there were times, I don't want to say it was contentious, but we had some real disagreements. And I think the conversation was productive because we're able to ascertain exactly what the disagreements were. And we were each able to kind of say something about it. So I'm really glad that it happened. I think that it's a huge step forward towards unity. Because like you said, the 35,000 foot view, the big picture, especially after Charlie Kirk was killed. And, you know, I say this on my show, people can feel however they want about the actual assassination, who pulled the trigger, who was behind it, if there was a conspiracy. That aside, everybody on the left celebrated this. So people could say, well, it was organized crime. Well, it was a foreign government. Well, it was this, that, or the other. Okay, be that as it may. Thousands of left-wing people celebrated that a young guy got shot in the face for talking about his views. And he was extremely moderate. And so I think that is really the context where you look across the way at somebody like a Tucker from my perspective or vice versa, or someone like a Matt Walsh, or maybe even for many people, someone like yourself. And they say, I think we actually have a lot more in common between ourselves than we do with the left, the neocons. We really need to unite and stick together. And sometimes it's going to be awkward and sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. And, you know, there's egos and there's differences of opinion. And that happens. I mean, that happens when there's men involved. But I think we're starting to see the contours of a new movement taking shape, which is the legitimate America First movement. And the timing was interesting. Tucker did a really big show about that just the other week with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I thought he did a wonderful job fleshing out what the America First pillars are. And to me, those are going to be the guidestones going forward. So,
and I want to talk about that. But Greene is a microcosm, or not a microcosm, an example of what happened to you. You're just a libertarian, Ron Paul, pro-America guy. And you're working over, you know, at the Daily Wire and all this, and they come in and try to indoctrinate you into Israel, take you there, make you their slave when you're just mildly asking questions, and you then on a journey become radicalized, as you would call it. Same thing with Greene. They start bullying her over the last few years and saying you can't ask questions, and then now she's come over to you because of this behavior. And then you got to ask, why does Netanyahu do that? Why does he create so many Nick Fuentes's?
Yeah, which I thought was an interesting question. And the more that I thought about it, I sort of realized if Nick Fuentes were president or Tucker Carlson were president, he wouldn't like that. You know, Netanyahu would not want someone like me to be in power or anywhere near power. So you could say
that's an understatement. You
know, yes, to say the least. But I heard this sort of this insinuation that maybe Netanyahu prefers someone like me over someone like Tucker, let's say, for example. And I would say that to the extent that that's true, I seriously doubt that. But, you know, Tucker says that's the case. I think the reason that maybe the Israeli right sees some benefit out of me is as long as they can control the conversation, as long as I'm on the outside, as long as I'm yelling and screaming from outside the club and I have no real chance at getting any real influence or power, they're very comfortable maybe with the idea that I could be used as a bludgeon to cancel people, make people look bad, something like that. But I don't think they realize the gravity of the situation, which is that people like myself are now in the majority. In the conservative movement, as Donald Trump said recently, it's now a liability to be pro-Israel. And that's largely because I was one of the moral entrepreneurs, in the words of Overton, that was first to the party in saying that we have an Israel problem. There's a contradiction.
And by the way, your statement that you represent the majority of the party is not an overstatement. That is a fact.
It certainly is. And especially with the young people. That's the other dimension to it. Maybe less so with the older crowd, but with the young people, it is certainly right, left, and center. The majority share my critique of Israel. And I get messages from people I know all the time, people in college. They say, my friend is really left wing, like he's a Bernie bro type. He's a socialist, but he loves your clips because he loves what you say about Israel and he thinks you're really funny. And like that's like a thermometer. That's taking the temperature because of course, just a few years ago, well, everyone hated me. The lefts really hated me. Many on the right were content with me being canceled. And so I think now that I am clearly ascendant, it's sort of undeniable that I'm bringing the ratings, I'm bringing the views, the young people are with me. Now I think that the pro-Israel side is deeply uncomfortable with this. And so that's why Mark Levin.
I don't know if they killed Kirk, but I've said you need to. I mean, if Nick Fuentes, God forbid, gets killed, I would then say the first suspect's going to be Israel. Or some crazy right wing loon that they brainwash. And so let's briefly speak to this because I saw you talk about this the other day. I don't want to spend much time on these people, but we have the deranged left that has the, you know, mental acuity and, you know, psychological, historical understanding of a goldfish. But you do have kind of a mindless, as the general public wakes up in mass, there'll be a certain trashy, you know, criminal, mindless undercurrent that wakes up, and then all they know how to do is act like complete fools, say the most mindless things that actually discredit what you and others are doing, trying to move the Overton window, and then all they do is then attack and lie and say, oh, how dare you go on Tucker Carlson? You know, how dare you say, you know, that it wasn't Israel killed Kirk, and now we've said there may be some evidence that we're moving that direction, we're not sure yet. No, the left said we're going to kill him. The left celebrated it. The left owned it. Regardless, you do have these Trantifa doing things. So there is all this leftist violence. So the point is, no, they're like top suspects. We don't know yet. And we go, and then now they're covering up the trial. Now it's the biggest gag order ever. Now Cash Patel shuts down Kirk, foreign intelligence probe, an explosive feud with Trump's counterterrorism chief. That's coming up. We're going to get to this because now I'm getting not just about Israel, but the whole deep state. Maybe the RNC had motives like we talked about a month ago. My point is we didn't have the evidence yet, but these people that, you know, I showed up 31 years ago. You've been around over 10 years. That I've known of you before that, you know, when you're a little kid, you're doing shows, you know, 15, 16 years ago. So the point is we have pedigrees. We're known. Our names are our names. You're really Nick J. Fuentes. I'm really Alexander Emmerich Jones. But it's this mob showing up. And I guarantee you, we know a lot of those are bots. A lot of those are feds. A lot of those are NGOs. And I'm telling you, that's who they're going to use to kill you or I or others. So they'll say it's some deranged right winger. I'm very concerned about that. And you spoke to that quite a bit in the last few days because, you know, it's really an issue. And I don't like Hitler and it was an anomaly and all the rest of it. But those people need to know as this happens and we don't fix this and we go into another World War II mode, which I don't want to happen. All the scum needs to know there's going to be a Night of the Long Knives for the SA, for the Ernst Röhms, because the street thugs that kind of boil into this, as the aristocracy of a new system sets up, the obvious thing is going to be to cut out the retarded fat. Now, I'm using a World War II analogy into all this. Give us your take on that.
Well, I think what you're saying is totally true. And it's funny because this has been a conversation. I'm sure you've been having this conversation on some level for many years, just as I have. I mean, for the past 10 years, for as long as I've been doing the show. And we've called it many different things in my circles. We called it the optics war. And there's been all sorts of disagreements between Wignats and Groypers, alt-right and alt-light, all these different kind of things. And I guess the way that I would frame it is I would say that I am ruthlessly committed to realizing America first. I'm not here to do a show my entire life, although if that's necessary and that's what it takes, then I will do that. I am here because I actually want our people to have power. I want real Americans that believe the things we believe to actually have power and actually fundamentally change society. And I know there's a lot of people that they're not thinking that way. They're not thinking backward of what does it look like 10, 20, 30 years down in the road where we actually have political power, where we actually are the ascendant dominant movement. We have to think backwards from that and think practically, how do we get there? What's the roadmap? And I know there's a lot of people that are angry. There's a lot of people that are, they're getting red pill. They're waking up. You know, they're getting all these ideas. And I think that it crosses over into self-indulgence when they want to scream and yell. They want to do their best Hitler impression. They want to get really angry. They talk about political violence. And I get where the emotions come from, but as someone who's been doing this for 10 years with serious and ambitious goals, we have to put the emotions aside. We have to put that sort of thing aside. And anybody that is not...
We can't let the retards run the movement.
Yeah, precisely. And we can't let them sabotage it either. Anybody that is dragging us down or getting in the way, they are effectively operating on behalf of the enemy.
Well, let's be clear. Exactly. Maybe, politically, populism, Christianity, resurgence of the West is in ascension, only allowing the dumb, mindless scum boosted by the left, who the left wants violence and the ultra-retarded right wing wants it. No, we're winning with ideas. Violence is not the answer, and they call you a sellout, you work for Netanyahu, you're a pussy, when they're not out doing engaged in violence. No, most of those are feds. That is a setup. And that's why they're saying you're an agent of Netanyahu, is because on the course we're on, we save the West. And these people, for low IQ or others who are bad actors, they don't want that to happen. They don't want us to actually take back civilization. They don't believe in victory. They're victims. They're failures. They don't have the understanding of the second, third, fourth, fifth magnitude order repercussions. They don't have destiny. And so we just have to be, you know, be sad for them, but realize we can't let a pack of scum hijack our movement.
I totally agree. I think we need to make it very clear that what we want to do is win. It's victory at any cost. That's what we're about, is total victory. And we want victory for America first. So me, I have no problem. You know, my goal is not to appease or pander to a crowd of mindless type people like you're talking about. The goal is victory at any cost. And that means being pragmatic and being practical. And it means having, like you said, an understanding of second, third, fourth order consequences. It means having understanding of how these systems work. So I'm totally with you. And that's why I like to say on the interview with Tucker, my interview with Dave Smith, it's like, when we take power, we don't want to hurt anybody. We're not cruel or hateful or weird people. You know, and I even don't like the word radicalization. They like to say that I got radicalized because of Shapiro. I think I'm actually the sensible one. What's radical is the mass migration. What's radical is 100 wars for Israel. What's radical is...
I use that term as people know that term. I mean, I agree. The radicalization of that, trying to make you hate your country, hate yourself, hate your religion, is what triggered you to change course.
Right. And I understand using it in a colloquial way. I'm just referring broadly speaking. People like to kind of take my story and say, this poor man was turned into a monster and a villain because he was abused. And my message is always, I was right. I was right first. I was kind of right, talking about mass migration, talking about Israel, talking about all these things really from day one. And it's just taken everybody else a little while to catch up. And, you know, just as it was then, as it is now, we still don't have time for people that are sabotaging our efforts. And sometimes they do it through no fault of their own. I think you're right. There is a great deal of, maybe there's federal informants or federal assets. I also think there's a lot of people that are social defectives. I think there's a lot of people that are just very emotional. Maybe they're just sort of not very bright. And unfortunately, we don't have the time or the luxury to take care of them.
Well,
we
it
have
also
to
makes them feel
them.
Powerful. Take people who have real names, real track records, who put skin in the game. People have come to our houses to kill us. We've been attacked. And then you say, no, they're not real. I am. It's like stolen valor. It's like if you go out and wear a Green Beret uniform and try to collect money at a Walmart and you were never in the military. It's stolen valor is what it is. And so I don't think, and I'm not trying to say I'm tough and I'm great and I'm wonderful, but I got one hell of a track record. You've got one too. I'm the real deal. I got skin in the game. I've left blood, you know, on the field. And there's just a bunch of people that are just as bad as the left that want to point at the strong man in the arena and sit there like a critic and claim they're good when we don't even know who their names are. They're cowards, and they need to be addressed, and they're anathema, and they're one of the biggest problems we face. And they're the people they're going to send to kill us.
Yeah, I think that's been the very small minority, though. I think for the most part, a lot of people that are anonymous, you know, they just don't want to lose their jobs. And so, I'm not really against anonymity.
I'm talking about anonymous people claiming you and I aren't real. When the results,
no.
You can't argue with.
I totally agree with you, and that it needs to be said. But I agree, it's a small percentage of bad actors. And the good news is, I think most people recognize that's what that is. They see that I'm on a generational run. They see me with Tucker Carlson, and they say the ideas are being mainstreamed. Like, we are winning, and it's a good feeling that the ideas are getting out there.
We spent too much time on those people. I want to talk about the EBT cards going out, the left that's degenerated beyond degeneration. I want to get into Venezuela. I want to get into Trump. Nick Fuentes is our guest. Share the live feed now. We'll be right back.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel Methylene Blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at it.
Here's your normal Methylene Blue, right? Look at Methylene Red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're going to need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got Methylene Blue and you got Methylene Red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
Alex Jones, Patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder. Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the Methylene Blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the Methylene Blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Anybody who's halfway informed about health and vitality knows that turmeric is one of the top supernutrients in the world. But concentrated turmeric is what you want. Most turmeric pills are 4%. That's raw. This is the strongest, 95% curcuminoid with a bunch of other concentrated supernutrients like ginger and black pepperdine. And it's finally back in stock. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies at thealexjonesstore.com. Just go see what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says about turmeric. And this stuff is the Godzilla of turmeric. And it funds the InfoWar. And while you're at thealexjonesstore.com, be sure to check out the widest selection anywhere of Patriot 1776 Part 2. Incredible clothing, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies. It's all there, like this baby, the Second American Revolution, at thealexjonesstore.com. And you're funding the tip of the spear in the Second American Revolution when you support us. So I thank and salute you all. Now take action at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So I'll tell you a story that just happened Monday. So I knew that Nick Fuentes, Tucker Carlson interview was coming up when I was there, you know, weeks ago. Tucker's like, yeah, you know, it's set coming up, you know, at the end of the month. And then I worked late that night, And so I was really hungry, so I pull into Serrano's Mexican food restaurant in South Austin. I go in, put in earbuds, sit there for like an hour. I'm watching the first hour of the interview. And then I take the earbuds out, pay, I'm leaving, and I get in my car, roll down the window, I'm sitting there, and I hear Nick Tucker Carlson, and I pull my phone out, and I'm like, what's going on here? And a guy in a Ford truck next to me has his windows down with his girlfriend or wife, and they're listening to it in the car. That's when you know you're in the zeitgeist, okay? And that happened, Scott's Honor. I almost pulled my phone out just to show, but I'm like, it doesn't matter, I'll tell the story. But I just remembered that. So that is illustrative of the Great Awakening. And the fact that the overhead window has been moved so far, it's basically broken. And you know my critique, because Communist China is making its move. It's huge. There's other globalist interests. Israel's a big part of it. It's been the taboo. It's great that people aren't scared of the taboo. I overall see that as healthy. But what happens now that people are so anti-establishment that they don't believe anything they're told? But also a lot of the public, we were just kind of finishing up with that, have woken up, but they still don't have any depth or context to understand it. Cause like you said, you were a little kid, like I was, studying politics, loving it, being attracted to it. What happens to people that are just now waking up in this? And how does that paradox work where if we had a giant base of people that had depth, we could really fix things quickly, but it's also very explosive to have a huge awakening and then a bunch of people not distributed around the world that don't have any political understanding or even how to gauge it.
Well, it's a really interesting question, and it's something actually that me and Tucker talked a little bit about, and I think that you're seeing the pendulum swinging maybe back in the other direction, because what everybody recognizes is that 10 years ago, there was a dissent, a consensus maybe, that started to emerge, which is that the institutions had no credibility. The institutions, the media, academia, the government, they were all lying to us. And they were. I mean, there was a consensus that we couldn't trust them and that they had forfeited their credibility and legitimacy because they were lying. They were telling us things that we knew were not true, things that were not common sense. And when you push back on them, rather than correct the record, they just censored. They censored, or they called you a racist or a vax denier, you know, all those different things.
Or put you on a no-fly list or indicted you.
Right. They did all these kinds of things, and I think that only hastened the end of their legitimacy and credibility, because it showed that there was no ability for them to correct themselves. And so, of course, then the pendulum swung in the other direction. And this is why your show is huge. It's why Joe Rogan is number one. It's why Tucker's huge. It's why all the people in this sphere, in this community, comedians, podcasters, conspiracy theorists, extremists, all these people are now gaining so much currency, especially now that there's free speech. Elon acquired Twitter, opened it up, and now people are flocking to these alternative sources of information and opinion. But I would say, and I said this to Tucker also at our dinner, it seems that we're reaching maybe the high watermark of that part of the pendulum swinging. It seems like we're reaching a phase of exuberance and maybe a level of adoption where now it's going to start to swing in the other direction, because what you see, and you've alluded to this, is that people seem to be falling for a lot of red herrings and getting wrapped up in weird conspiracy stuff. I would say maybe the first iteration of that is like the QAnon thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like this comes out in 2018,
and I think it catches on. I was about to say Q is a prime example.
Right, and that was one of the first ones, and it was substantial and major, and it caught on because it sounded correct. There were a lot of questions the QAnon people were asking that were kind of legitimate questions. They were connecting some dots that were there, but of course the whole conceit of it was false. You know, the idea that Trump is a shadow president, or, you know, that any of that stuff was real, it just wasn't. And that was maybe kind of like the first big wave of that. And I could even see with some of the criticism of Israel, it starts getting into theories like the Khazar Mafia, and it starts getting into the Frankists and like all these weird directions.
And the U.S. Capitol is actually 8,000 years old. And yeah, just total cuckoo town.
Right. The kookery, the Tartari, all that kind of stuff I would consider in the same vein. And so I think we're in a position now where either the institutions, they have a chance at gaining back their credibility, and I don't think they're going to take it, because you look at the moves being made in media, and like TikTok is censoring more. It got bought by Larry Ellison. CBS brought Barry Weiss in. So they're getting worse, not better. What you tend to see in a situation like this is just classic tyranny, which is that the political movement or the political leader that is the most adept at manipulating the whims of the masses, that is the person that is going to rule the roost. And so whatever form that takes, I don't actually know if it's going to be left-wing, right-wing, economically populist, if it's going to have an identitarian flavor.
Well, let's quantify what you just said. To interrupt what you're saying, what you're saying is totally true. If the establishment doubles down, that is the wrong course for them. I'm not even defending. I'm saying for them, it's bad. But then you awaken a bunch of people, but they don't get informed about how things really work. Then it creates a black hole of insanity. And so that's why most revolutions go bad. Yeah, we're having a revolution. Yeah, we're awake to the bad power structure, but then you've got to have a new paradigm. You've got to have a new plan. And I think that's our job now to present that.
I totally agree, because there's so much anger right now, but it's sort of, it's like you said earlier, it's sort of just like a mindless anger. And there's something, what they're getting at is right. Like, there is a mass awakening. There is a lot of truth going out there, but you can feel there's like a deep sense of chaos. There's like a deep, it really is like an I Am Legion kind of effect when the mob gets stirred up like that. And let's be honest, there is a lot of anger. There's a lot of hatred.
Thomas Jefferson said the number one threat of tyranny is the mob.
It's true. And that's really what it is. It's stirring up an angry mob. And what I don't like about that is it seems that then the person who is going to appeal to the mob the most effectively, that's the one that's going to drive it. And in order to manipulate the mob, you need to be a sociopath. You don't actually have to have real beliefs. To manipulate the mob, you just have to pull these levers and push the buttons in a calibrated way, you know,
exactly.
Kind of manipulating.
You don't have to actually fix things. You just got to manipulate the mob.
Right. And that, I guess I'm becoming more worried about that in a way that I wasn't a couple of years ago, because the way things were a couple of years ago, censorship was so total and complete and the gatekeepers were so powerful. It's like,
look, we need a revolutionary then challenging the enemy. Now the enemy's falling. Now which is part of the process. If you're actually smart, now that we are coming into power intellectually, now we have to be the intellectuals. Now we have to be the aristocrats that actually try to save civilization.
Right. We need to catch the falling knife, you know, because we kind of blew the doors open. We're in the palace. You know, it's like the end of Dune 2. Like we're there. We're in the throne room. It's very clear. But we need to be careful, like you said, and Tucker even talked about this on his show too. It's funny how we're all kind of in sync on this. He said it's important that like an animal farm, that the pigs that win the revolution don't become like the human beings that came before, that you don't just get another iteration of that. And so how do you kind of have a truly new birth, like a baptize a new country with kind of like a new movement? And I think I said this on Dave Smith, the responsible and mature people, I consider you to be one of them, myself, Dave, Tucker, I mean, all these people, the responsible and mature people need to wisely guide the crowds, build something institutional, and kind of guide the country through the transition. It's not, the fight isn't over yet. We're still very much in the fight, but we have to kind of think about that day after. You know, that's kind of the
exactly.
Buzzword.
It's one
with
thing
Gaza.
To overthrow something. It's another thing to then build the new future.
Right. And you need to do them simultaneously. It's weird because you know, a lot of people have this idea like, well, let's worry about beating the enemy. Then we'll figure everything out later. It's like, no, you have to be thinking about that
you
day after.
You always can't just oppose a tyranny. You have to have an opposing worldview and idea for others to adopt.
Yes. A positive vision. And that's really about what I've been working on is trying to figure out.
And then I want to get into geopolitics and the shutdown, because the Democrats are betting everything on this. They're going to keep it shut down, folks. Their average constituent doesn't know you need 60 votes for a spending bill. Let's just start. We'll finish your point about what your vision would be, and then let's address the EBT SNAP stuff being cut off Saturday.
Yeah, so, I mean, in terms of my positive vision, I like to talk to the younger people to watch my show and say, what actually do you know how to do? Like, if we want to transform and become the American elite, we have to actually enter into the institutions and gain the institutional know-how. I know a lot of people watch my show. They could tell me the history of the Middle East and how Israel got us into every war and this and that and the other. It's like, but do you know about how government works? Do you know about how society works? Do you know the first thing about, you know, critical minerals, about the geopolitical landscape? Because if we want to create this cadre, this political cadre that is going to run the next regime or be the new elite, you're going to need to know a little bit more than that. And so I'm trying to get people into this idea that it's not just about taking away and subtracting and being anti and against, but it's about saying, what are we for? And what I'm for is we want America to produce things again. We want a tariff schedule. We want subsidies. We want to decouple from China. We want to make stuff in America. And we want Latin America, the Western Hemisphere, to be our periphery. We want to dominate the landscape here. And I think that if we can get things strained out at home, and that means law and order, that means safe public transit, that means cities that are livable, that are prosperous, it means that we have industry, it means that we have control over the borders. We're going to have to re-migrate a lot of these problematic people that have come here in the past 20 years. If we can get things settled at home and produce things and be safe and be, have kind of a predictable society again, then we could project power abroad and we can keep our civilization. That's kind of the rough sketch.
By the way, this gives me faith, because I know you're really smart, Nick, because I know a lot of history and I'm pretty informed. That's all I do. I know people that know what they're saying, people that act like they know. You know. And I'm giving you a few speeches on air and a few off, and I'm on. But that's what I was saying was, I try to post something about China, 95% rare earth mineral control, which they've cut off now. And I'm like, I try to post a video. All I get is cover up Israel, 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 only thing. No, we can know all about Israel, oppose that. But to be real masters of this, you've got to know all of it. And people can't be territorialized and so mindless where they only know about that. You'd actually know what Israel was doing that was bad, or other groups, if you actually knew all of that. And this is the adult discussion, because we are winning. We're getting rid of an old power structure, but now we have to be ready to intellectually bring in the new one that is not just sustainable, but is prosperous and you know, upwardly lifted and just amazing. And we are there. And so many people have been in the underdog position. They're not ready to actually lead and actually be in power. And that's where we are. So looking at the Democrats' plans, I think the best way to go at this, and then I'll get into Venezuela, and in your great realist breakdown, which I 100% agree with, what do you make of the shutdown? We're at day 29 20, or day 30, and the Democrats, despite the polls against them, going all in on this to cut off 40-plus million people from their welfare checks and EBT and SNAP on Saturday, and all the calls for the Podesta plan to be launched. I agree with you. This has got to be crushed. This is a premeditated insurrection plan. Looking at the angles, how do we counter this? How do we message this? What do you think's coming?
Well, it terrifies me that they're taking away the food stamps, because if that's legitimate and they take away all the food stamps, I mean, you're going to get civil unrest. You're going to get some serious problems over that, because people are going to feel it. And, you know, in some ways, these types of problems are going to present over and over again because the government is insolvent. So this is a debate over whether we're going to raise the deficit $2 trillion, $1 trillion. We're getting squeezed. Interest on the debt itself, inflation, imminent recession. The government is getting squeezed. And what do you think is going to happen, like, in the future when there's just no money? And what's going to happen to all the benefits? You know, what's going to happen to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security? So, but I think that in the short term, I think that the Republicans need to get control of the messaging. They need to get out ahead of this thing. It's honestly such a sad state of affairs that they have allowed themselves to be blamed for this, because the Democrats have made it very clear that they are pandering to their audience. They allowed the spending bill to pass earlier in the year, and their base was really unhappy with that because they said the Democrats didn't even put up a fight. And this is Ezra Klein in the New York Times basically said this. He said, we expect the Democrats to shut down the government really just on account of the Trump administration is doing things we don't like. So we're just not going to give them the votes. We're going to shut down the government just to pander to these radical insurrectionists across the country.
The right wing wants to ally with Islam and the left that wants to crash the country. And so literally Schumer is pandering to Bernie Sanders, AOC, and Mondami. I mean, this is insane.
It is. And what exactly is the end game here? I mean, what is it actually that they want? I don't even know that they have clearly articulable goals out of the shutdown other than they want to stop the government from functioning.
They're in total panic mode. Everyone, record low approval, record low campaign raising money. No, exactly. This is just pure throwing a fit. Trump should address the country and point that out. I don't think the Republicans they should be hardcore on this.
Well, and they're just so disorganized. That's what's disappointing, because across the board, it's an insurrection. They're getting in the way of ICE. They're getting in the way of federal law enforcement. They're attacking federal law enforcement. They don't want illegals to be deported from the country. Now they won't let the government function. And it seems like there's just not a level of organization or coordination or competence coming from the administration to get control of the situation. And I'm like getting flashbacks from the first term where it's like the government is incapable of doing anything other than making these like gestures towards its base, other than making videos, other than, you know, trying to convince the base that they're trying their best. We want to see them do it. You know, Trump won. It's his vengeance. Like, he won in a landslide. He got the mandate.
Governor Pritzker for racketeering, for insurrection. He said resist, fight, block federal agents doing their job. People want to see that. It'll fold like a house of cards. Indict that fat son of a bitch.
Yes, bring down the hammer. Bring down the hammer on all of them. And you need to be in the media. You need to have a message. And you need to have a whole of government
approach. And the Republicans
approach.
Are still somewhat awake compared, but they're still in a bubble. No, there's going to be a national orgasm when the gloves come off. Because, again, I tell you, Cash, Bondi, they're not even bad people. They're cowards. They still believe the left has power. Crush them. They started it. They want to destroy the country. You explain this well. Crush them. Crush them. People want them to be crushed.
Well, that's right, because, look, as long as the Democrats believe that they have hope in this situation, they're going to resist Trump, and in other words, that they're going to get away with it. That's really the problem, is they know the administration is never going to take it seriously. They know they're never going to face any consequences. Why do you think these idiots in Chicago or Portland are attacking ICE and DHS? It's because they know they're going to run away and there's going to be no consequences. And as this continues to escalate,
a Soros judge will let them out.
Right. Even if they get arrested, they're going to get released anyway. And so there's a word for that. They're becoming emboldened. And this is escalating. And the more that they're able to get away with it, the more they're going to escalate their tactics. And the federal government, as long as it keeps meeting them with half measures, we're just sort of holding hands, walking down the street together towards this escalation between federal and local law enforcement, federal and local authorities, and it's not going to go anywhere good. And that's why I said with Tucker, you need to get ahead of it and you need to crush it. And by crush it, that means swiftly and overwhelmingly. It has to be rapid, fast, and it needs overwhelming force. And the message needs to be, we're not playing. You can't resist the federal government. You can't resist federal supremacy. We're not playing around. And if the Illinois governor and Chicago mayor, if they want to try and jam this process up, that's unconstitutional. That's not the social contract. You're going to jail. You can't be allowed to do this.
Look at Newsom. Monday, he says, the feds have no right to oversee elections. The feds oversee world elections. It's in the Constitution. Anybody can overobserve. The idea that the feds can't, again, people go, oh, you're being pro-fed. No, it's the federalist system. It's the balance. It's completely out of balance.
Exactly. And it's why it's like with illegal immigration. According to the Constitution, that is the federal government's purview to enforce the borders, not the states, not anybody else.
Pure
it's the
jurisdiction,
government.
Pure.
Right. And they're not military. So you can send Border Patrol and ICE into the cities and you have to let them do their job. This is like secessionist Civil War kind of talk when they say, oh, we need to resist them. And you have these press conferences where they're standing together. That's a straight up insurrection. And the longer you let this go on, it's just going to metastasize and it's going to be harder to put down later in the future. And it's just going to get worse. So that's why I've said the admin's got to come down and absolutely crush it. But it's like you say, they're too weak. They're afraid. They won't use the tools that they have. And this is why I was so critical last year. It's like deja vu all over again with BLM in 2020 or, you know, Antifa at the inauguration the first time. They will never take the gloves off and just put it to an end. And they need to. Like, that's the only solution at this point.
I agree. So I watch your show a lot. I mean, you do like 2-3 hours a night. I probably watch an hour a day, but when I'm driving and stuff, but your analysis, I don't know if you saw mine, but it's the same thing. It's the Monroe Doctrine. They're killing hundreds of thousands a year with drugs. They're fighting the Democratic Party on record. They're manipulating elections. This is not neoconism, all the wars the last 30 years. This is realism. This is what we're supposed to do. So can you spend a few minutes on, because people say, oh, you sold out. Well, I didn't get a check. I didn't know that. No, I know the Monroe Doctrine. I know Thomas Jefferson, the Barbary Pirates, what he did. This is actually what you do. A country like Russia got encircled, got invaded. It fought back. Not saying Russia's perfect, but it's their backyard. They have a right. This is our backyard. What Trump's doing in Venezuela, I see, is constitutional. I agree with you that the response he can be set up by the CIA Bad Pigs 2.0 and we can debate how it's done, but overall, his move, we're under attack. These are equivalent of missiles killing millions of people. You spoke to that. Can you recap that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, people, I say this all the time. I'm not anti-war, and I wouldn't even call myself a non-interventionist. I'm a realist. I think that the United States has this awesome wealth and awesome power, and there's nothing wrong with that inherently to use that power to secure the interests of America. And historically, what has always been the strategic interest of America is to control the Western Hemisphere. And the reason for that is very simple. We are not threatened by Europe. We're not threatened by Asia. A big reason for that is because we have the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean separating us. So, you know, any kind of invasion from a great power over there, it doesn't have a direct threat against the homeland because we would see it coming. They'd have this logistical challenge of crossing the ocean. That changed a little bit with nuclear weapons and missiles, but that still is generally true. And so what that means then is that in order for America to keep the homeland safe, what we have to worry about most acutely and imminently is the Western Hemisphere. You know, maybe Iran is not a threat because they're literally on the other side of the world, but Venezuela is close to home. Cuba is close to home. And the perfect example is the Cuban Missile Crisis. You have a adversarial, hostile regime in Cuba, and although the Cuban government is not able to challenge the United States directly or existentially, if they're allied with our strategic competitors like the Soviet Union, they could one day host a nuclear missile that's within striking distance of the United States, and no ABM system is going to be able to prevent that from happening.
And Maduro has 5,000 Russian missiles he's going to use. He's allied with China. He's running his mouth. He's the piggy bank for the Democrats. You want to cut the Democrats off. This is bigger than the USA. You cut that off. Exactly. So this is America first actually coming back. You're saying if you were president, you're looking at this, you see why Trump's doing it.
Yes, there is a vital strategic interest for Americans in controlling South Central America and the Caribbean.
Not going to the Middle East to blow up the Muslims and then ship them here for Israel. This is actually in our interest. You're saying in general, but you're worried about how it's implemented.
Exactly, exactly. There's all the difference in the world. You go to Iraq to make a democracy. You go to Afghanistan to make sure women can vote. This is about making sure that in South America we have across the board, by the way. It's not even just in Venezuela. It's across the whole board. All these governments that are doing trade with China, they're doing trade with China, and that's the basis of a future strategic relationship. China is sending them weapons. They're investing in dual-use infrastructure, deep-water ports, radar dishes. These are all things
Panama
that theoretically
take over. We're being encircled, just like the Russians struck back. It's literally under rule of law, war doctrine. This is what you're supposed to, this is default stuff.
Exactly. This is your vital American strategic interest. This is, you know, people say, isn't the purpose of the military to protect America? This is protecting America. These are the Americas. These are strategic interests. And so, and by the way, what's more, this has been U.S. policy for 200 years. It goes back to the Monroe Doctrine. And, you know, people like to say we shouldn't meddle in their affairs. We've been doing that since the Spanish-American War. We've been doing that since, you know, there were these banana republics. Like, we've always been operating in that way, and that's for a very good reason. I think that's a realist point of view.
But to be a finer point, the Monroe Doctrine is we don't meddle. You meddle, we come in.
Well, and more, I would say moreover that the Western Hemisphere is uncontestable American territory. You know, I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with us meddling, actually. And maybe we might disagree on that, but I support meddling. I don't think that...
No, I get it. When we're opposed, when a force moves in, what China has, it's not even meddling. I get the meddling. I'm saying it's a defense. You have to do it. It's...
Right. Yes, I understand. Yeah. So if China's trying to come in here and you know why they're doing that, then it's our job to kick them out. So and like I said, just a little concerned about how we go about it. But
well, let's talk about that. We come back in 2 minutes. Then I want to get into critiques of the Trump administration and what's going to happen to Netanyahu and so much more. Stay with us.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You know, it's so refreshing to talk to Nick Fuentes, because I talk to senators, I talk to DOJ people, I talk to you name it, off air. I mean, just today, DOJ stuff behind the scenes, I'm not going to even tell you about it. It's the good news, I'll leave it at that. But I can't reveal it yet. There's a bunch of indictments about to drop. Trump's not playing around. He's like in quicksand, but he's so strong, he's getting out of it. But I know all this stuff because I'm obsessed with this stuff. It's not like I want to know it. Once you get into it, you just, I know all these guys that know about baseball, football, all that. When I was younger, I did too. I don't know about that anymore. I know about politics. And it's so scary that most people I talk to don't know what I'm talking about. I can bring up almost any subject in Nick Fuentes, and he knows what I'm talking about. It sometimes teaches me something. That's what impresses me. And, well, I'll just move on from that. We've only got 30 minutes left. We got a bunch of subjects, and we knew this. Nick called it. Netanyahu, the peace deal. Oh, we blow up whatever we want and then call it a ceasefire. That's coming up. Arctic frost, all of it. But just this brief 4 minutes to the break, then some stations join us. Finishing up, yes, Trump, under the Monroe Doctrine and under what Venezuela's done to us and the meddling and the fentanyl, all that, has a right, and it makes sense, and it cuts off China and sends a message. But that doesn't mean I support regime change, because I don't trust the CIA. And I don't trust them not doing a Bay of Pigs like 61 when Trump goes in. What do you think, Nick Fuentes?
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's kind of like the nuance there. Because, you know, like with you, I got a lot of people criticizing me for this take and saying, you're a neocon, you support regime change. And like you, I think it's weird how we totally synced up on this. We recognize there's a strategic value in having Venezuela aligned with Washington and, you know, broader South and Central America being the same way. At the same time, we're also extremely wary of regime change, because what happened in Trump's first term, Trump hits them with maximum pressure. They try to do regime change and 8 million people leave the country. And many of them wind up in Houston and all over Texas, all over
just
Chicago,
like
New York.
Just blowing up the Middle East, bringing the Muslims in.
Exactly. Just like the Syrian refugee crisis, it's the same thing. And so that's always the concern, is you blow up the regime and do you even succeed? Like, that's the first question. Does it spill over into America? Do you get a refugee crisis? There's not a great track record of regime change.
The first question is, can it be successful?
Right, because they tried it for so long and it never worked, because Maduro's people are loyal. They got Cuban intelligence embedded all over the security apparatus. And so, like, nobody's budging. Trump thought the government would collapse with the $50 million bounty, the stuff he's doing now. There's not a lot of cracks in that regime. They've been pushing them for 10 years and it hasn't happened. So, you know, what does that look like then? Boots on the ground? Does that look like airstrikes? You know, what are we really in for here? And I wonder if we could resolve this with a deal. According to the New York Times, Rick Grenell had secured a deal where Venezuela was going to give us the gold, the oil. They were going to stop doing business with China, start doing business with America. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're after? But Rubio, who is this anti-communist, you know, he's a Cuban from Florida, so you get, there's the baggage there. Well, that's not good enough for him. He says, no, we need the regime change. Maduro has to go. Well, why? If it's cheaper, easier, more predictable to just get the deal, why do we insist on going in there hot like this? And it makes me wonder.
Rubio, but that'll bring down Cuba for sure. And then Venezuela controls Mexico, so he sees the dominoes. The CIA wants to put the security chief in, which just downgrades it. Yeah, I guess if they give the U.S. full control, then maybe if Maduro left. Because I don't think we take a deal with Maduro. That can't be trusted. If they let the U.S. put all the people in and then have free elections, then I would support the middle way. I think Rubio wants the clearest way to topple the regime, to topple Cuba and Mexico. What do you think?
I agree with that. I think there's a far-reaching ambition there. And I think that Trump wants it to be kinetic because I think he, this is classic Trump, I think he wants it to echo into the other theaters.
100% message to China and Russia.
Right, and in Iran also, because that's the other sticky wicket, is how do you get Iran to come back to the table? Well, maybe if they see another regime change, because this is what Trump did, I believe, in Syria in the first term. It's classic Trump. It's sort of like a Nixon-esque, you know, trilateral diplomacy. So I think that's another angle. But I agree with you. I don't know that we could trust Maduro, but I'm just so weary. Is there another regime change war really the best idea? It depends on how Trump goes about it. So with a lot of reservation, I have to say I'm not feeling so comfortable with it. But
or we just arrest the Democrat NGOs laundering the fentanyl money and put them in prison. We can also cut the head off here in America. Nick, we'll be back in 60 seconds. Stay with us. Huge question straight ahead.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder. Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Submarines, probably thousands of nuclear bombs and bombers into the zones of attack in Antarctica and in Western Russia. You have Trump admitting that Zelensky doesn't want peace. NATO doesn't want peace. Trump said no to cruise missiles 2 weeks ago. So now the Northern Group, that's an alliance of NATO, headed up by Starmer, the pedophile protector, grandmaster, Lord High Protector, says they're going to start bombing Russia as early as next week. This is insane level stuff. So there's that going on in the background. And Nick wants to comment on that, tied into this. It's important. But Israel says ceasefire back after strikes kill more than 100 in Gaza. They launched the biggest attack since the ceasefire. Massive attacks. Everybody's like, oh, God, Trump, the greatest peace deal ever. Isn't this great? Yeah, he's trying. I'm not taking it away that he's trying. But they've already destroyed most of Gaza. They've already got this deal to come take it over, and there's a trust, you know, that's going to be run by Bitcoin, not against Bitcoin, but my God, this sounds like a 15-minute city hellhole to me. That's what they're calling it. And then, okay, we're not going to ship the Gazans, 2 million of them somewhere. They're going to be here, but then it's all blown up, And then they can say, well, you haven't given us the dead bodies, but it's all destroyed. About defending Hamas that Israel created. And so this is just an ongoing Israel pulled its tanks out and bulldozers, but keeps bombing. And then they call it a ceasefire. And then Israel says, well, the ceasefire is back on. The ceasefire is off. And I just look at this. It was kind of a joke when Trump was at the Knesset. They're like, oh, great job. Oh, you got peace. Well, Trump has gotten peace in other places and is trying it, but this just seems like a sick joke that is only going to go south from here. Nick, you've been predicting this would happen. You've been right so far. Where do you see this going?
Well, the reason that I thought this thing would fall apart is because, of course, Israel has no intention of actually ending the fighting. I think they're the ones that are really driving this. And if you look at the history over the past couple of years, the pattern's very clear, which is that Israel is always willing to do a first phase or a short-term ceasefire. They did one in the end of November 2023. They did one in January of this year.
It's a reload, like Russia won't give Ukraine a ceasefire, as they say it's a reload.
Right. It's a reprieve for their ground forces, which are all reservists who are not very experienced soldiers and very low morale, high casualty rate in Gaza. So this is a chance for them to regroup. And it's not also just a reload. That's a huge part of it. The other part of it is they are engaged in an 8-front war. I mean, 7 kinetic fronts. They say the 8th front is the psychological information space, but they're engaged in a 7-front fully regional war. And what happened right after the ceasefire, and I said this on my show, is that they're going to reorganize and then go on the attack on the other fronts. And where we're seeing that manifest, first and foremost, is in Lebanon. And almost nobody's paying attention to Lebanon, but you've got our U.S. envoy to Lebanon, Tom Barak, is over there trying to implement what was passed in the Lebanese parliament not too long ago, which is the disarmament of Hezbollah. And
so
under pressure from Israel.
So you keep predicting what's going to happen. So what's going to happen next?
So I think what's going to happen next is Israel's going to step it up against Lebanon. I think they're going to, in the short term, step it up against Iran. I think they might re-engage Iran with strikes. And then I think after they finish the job against Hezbollah and maybe they do something with Iran, I think they're going to go right back into Gaza and resume what they were doing before, which is bulldozing all the cities and, pushing the people into a smaller and more concentrated area to eventually kick them out. I think there's no scenario where they let them stay there.
Well, years ago, Jared Kushner said, we're going to turn it into oceanfront property, the new Riviera or whatever Trump said. They're doing it now. And it's just like, why are we focused on this? Like, why are we even involved? Why are we giving Israel the weapons? Israel's not going to fall from, they stood down on October 7th. It's just why. My message to all the anti-Jew people is the same thing to all the pro-Jew people. Like, why is this our culture? Like, why do we talk? Why isn't it about Venezuela and Mexico? Why isn't it about fentanyl? Why isn't it about getting our birth rate up? Why isn't it about, we have to talk about us?
I totally agree. But at the end of the day, I think the security apparatus is preoccupied with this because they know they need Israel to make peace with the Gulf states. They know they need Israel and Saudi Arabia to be in the Abraham Accords together because that's the only way that we're going to be able to hand off the Middle East to this coalition in the same way we're trying to do a NATO, and then we could prioritize China. So we want out of the Middle East. We want to leave it to them. But the problem is Israel's not been integrated with all of the neighbors. So, now Syria has a new regime. Lebanon is disarming Hezbollah. In order for Saudi Arabia to come aboard, they're going to need Israel to wrap up this Palestinian thing. And so for everybody, it's just become like a major inconvenience. And I know that sounds horrible, but that is how they look at it. For Trump, he's like, all right, let's just wrap this thing up. Okay, are you done yet? Because we need Abraham Accords to go through Riyadh so we could do IMEC and we could get out of here and then we could build up in Taiwan.
Exactly.
I think that's really
Israel
the end game.
Israel isn't only manipulating our internal policy. It is getting in the way of our overall strategic plans. That's a fact. Like, why doesn't Netanyahu even think about the larger picture? If the West falls, Israel's screwed. But he doesn't even think about that.
They're going for broke. I think they recognize, and they've said this in their magazines, they've said this in their think tanks. They say that the situation in America is changing. America is becoming an unreliable ally because of the political climate, because of the progressive left, because of, the so-called anti-Israel sentiment among the younger generation. And they know that if they're relying on America for their security in 10 or 20 years, there might be a question mark there. And so I think this is their go for broke. This is their once and for all push to decisively defeat Iran, all of its proxies, roll up Palestine, and kind of figure out all their strategic problems in one go. In one, it's going to be tough. They're going to be under a lot of pressure. They're going to engender a lot of hatred. But Netanyahu's basically said it's worth it. He says everyone's going to hate us, but we're going to win, and then they're going to get over it, and we won't have these problems anymore, and then we can really take control of the security situation for the whole region. And so from their point of view, it sort of makes sense, I guess. It's just that the United States maybe doesn't recognize that they're kind of holding us up. They're totally set against our foreign policy here. So it would be good for the United States to wrap up.
Who does Israel ally with in the future?
I think they'll be allying with China. I think they'll be, they're Belt and Road, just like Saudi Arabia is. The Chinese credit will come into the Gulf countries. The Gulf countries will spend their money. You know, they have these facilities. They'll spend the money in Israel. And I think that, you know, Israel, like every other country, they'll become a middle power. And they're going to take what they could get from both sides. They'll take what they get from America. They'll take what they can get from China. And, you know, they'll kind of double dip. And this is what a lot of countries are doing now. Under Biden, this exploded when Emirates and Egypt joined BRICS. Argentina was going to do the same thing. Brazil is doing this, you know, security from the United States, credit from China. So I think that Israel, they're getting ready to ditch us. That's the thing. It's like now that we've made them this power, now they're going to say, thank you so much. They're going to cut the cord, and then they're going to be able to engage, you know, in a region without any real threats.
No, I totally agree not with as that analysis. Analysis. And then you've got the pathetic Christian Zionists. As Tucker said with you, that is the most disgusting group. They don't know anything. They don't understand anything. And they just literally worship whoever's in power in Israel. Shifting gears, the time we have left. Arctic Frost, documents came out months ago, Tulsi Gabbard, all of it, spying on U.S. senators, spying on Congress, now spying on me, without warrants, getting my cell phone, all confirmed. I talked to FBI. They looked at the codes that are on this. It was a total dragnet. Find money laundering, find gambling, find insider trading, find anything. Every code is there to all the FBI field offices. Get the American people. I'm actually honored to be at the top of this list with what Jack Smith's doing. But now this has been released. We put it through ChatGPT. It had the same findings. This is a major scandal. And will the Justice Department continue to protect itself? And Todd Blanche, who killed criminal investigations into my persecution, will Trump continue to have his blind spot to have Democrat, Southern District, New York people like Todd Blanche in there from all my sources is the problem? I mean, what is this thing Trump has about Bill Barr working against him? He now knows. Won't even criticize him. Todd Blanche, all of this. What do you make of Arctic Frost, these new documents that just came out?
Well, it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, those Bill Barr documents came out not too long ago, and it seems just like a rehash of that. And this has been going on since the Obama administration.
In those. Let's explain that. You're in those. In fact, pull up the Bill Barr documents, guys. Let's put them up. You and I are at the top of the list 4 or 5 years ago to get, and we get more documents. Same story. Like, what else does America need to know? Here are the bad guys trying to get us. Why? And then, back to Arctic Frost.
Right. Well, and I was going to say, this goes all the way back even before Trump won the election. In reality, this goes back to the FISA warrants that Obama sought in June 2016 to spy on Trump Tower. And it's amazing because Trump is always trying to relitigate this kind of stuff and say, you know, they spied on my campaign and got caught. Wasn't there a big report that came from the DNI a few months ago that said Obama broke the law?
They
about
released
the
documents that Obama ran Crossfire Hurricane. When Trump was president.
Right. So
we have their ass.
And yet it seems like nothing ever happens to these people.
Congressman that heads the committee, Representative James Comer, deliver, he said, on a silver platter, total proof to Bondi of all their criminal activity and the auto pen and Biden running, just total proof. Nothing's being done. So here's the good news, Nick. Trump is, the pressure's on. Remember that tweet a few months ago against Bondi? He's not going to put up with it. What do you think is going to happen?
I think they're going to blow it. I mean, I'm a little more pessimistic than you are, but I think they're going to blow it because for whatever reason, and like you said, it's sort of inexplicable. He doesn't want to talk about it. He's not going after these people. He had no drive to do it in the first term. I don't honestly see it in the second term. And he's going after James Comey and John Bolton for this Nicky Nack kind of stuff. You know, James Comey lied under oath. John Bolton classified documents. This is nothing. I mean, I really am disappointed.
But what I have seen is when he light fires under their ass, then we get results. So it's up to us. How do we light fires under their ass? Who do we need to go after?
Well, it's Pam Bondi. It's Kash Patel and it's Trump. The problem is I don't know even who's listening because there's so much pressure, for example, on like the Epstein files and then they're not going to do anything about that. And there's so much pressure about the deportations and they're not doing anything about that either. It's like, so I wish, I mean, I would say, of course, you'd talk about the DOJ, you'd go for the FBI, you'd go for Trump himself, maybe Vance might listen if everybody loves him so much. You know, he seems to have his ear to the ground. He's got his finger on the pulse. I think he's a very good politician. Maybe he'd talk to him. But honestly, where do you think the motion is in the administration? Who do you think is, maybe has the most
gift? From my sources, Vance is fully awake. That's why when you've been critical, I get your points, but he gets it. He knows he's going to prison if we don't do this. I mean, look, Todd Blanche is a goddamn piece of shit. So, excuse my French, folks, but I mean, he is blocking everything. Pam Bondi just is literally on TV, dumb blonde, Barbie 2.0, not trying to be mean. Patel's just flying around having fun. And Trump's just got to get rid of these people, man. I mean, this is like, we're doomed. I mean, it's so simple. I mean, I got an FBI whistleblower coming on in about an hour. Did you know the guy that ran Arctic Frost is still at the FBI?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't surprise me at all.
We're
going to
name names. No one even knows this. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I'll be watching that. It doesn't surprise me. This is like the first term all over again when they said on the front page of the New York Times, I'm in the Trump administration and I'm sabotaging it and making sure nothing happens. It's like, you know, I said it last year during the election. This is one of my huge hangups and criticisms. Is that personnel is policy. And I was not convinced last year that Trump had learned his lesson from the first time, which is you need to gut the deep state. You need to gut the permanent bureaucracy. Most importantly, in the intel agencies, most importantly in federal law enforcement, how can you have, because there was a conspiracy from the top in 16, in 20, throughout the
and
Biden
now we
administration.
Have this, Arctic Frost documents proving a total dragnet, not about J6, any ground they could find. The FBI's main mission, find Republican lawmakers in campaign finance or something. This is literally them hunting Congress. Total weaponization. We need national addresses from Trump. We need to go to war on this.
I totally agree. It's always been like this. And now we have all the evidence for it. Everyone always suspected that and the evidence has been coming out for years. And now this is just like the smoking gun. But where's the messaging? Again, it's very frustrating because I feel the same way that you do about it. I mean, I'm furious about the whole situation. We have both gotten the brunt of it, you more than me. And yet Trump, who purports to be our defender, I'm your voice, I'm your vengeance, where's the revenge?
So what do you think his problem is?
To be honest, and I don't know the sources as well as you do, I'm kicked out of the administration. They don't want any of my guys in there. But to be honest, I think it's him. A lot of people are afraid to say that because they don't want to cross him. I think it's him. I think he's incompetent. I think he's disorganized. I think
he works really hard. He has great, I agree though, economic ideas, but he has 4 million employees. I know it's true. He doesn't know. He doesn't do the research. We're young. We can do it. He just works all the time. These people kiss his ass. He doesn't know. So it is Trump at the end of the day. So where's the family? Where's all his other people? We know they're trying to tell him stop. They were scared to tell him the first admin about the traitors. I would. That's why they targeted me. Folks, we gotta get the information to Trump. Cause I can tell you how many insiders I talk to, they go, oh no, you're right about Todd Blanche. Oh, you're right about this. Oh my God, this person, that person. They go, if we talk about it, they're gonna kick us out. Well, who fucking cares? Fire the, if you're a sentry on the parapet and the enemy's attacking, you raise the alarm, you fire, you know, the rocket, you light the watchtower, do your job.
Well, and where's the turnover? You know, I mean, this cabinet's totally failing us. Pam Bondi should have been gone a long time ago. Kash Patel, same story. In the first term, at least you had some turnover. At least they were moving people around firing
anybody
people.
Anybody Congress tried to block is who should be the AG, like an Ed Martin. Oh, they let Patel in because he perjured himself in the testimony. I mean, like 10 times. He literally, I know he said, I don't know who Stu Peters is. He was only interviewed by a dozen times, thousands of text messages, like best buddies. He said, I don't know who Stu Peters is. But right there, lying to Congress. Why'd they approve him? Because they got dirt on him.
Hmm. Yeah, well, and there's a lot of shady stuff going on over there. And
him living with a billionaire in Vegas.
Well, and how they handled that other situation in Nevada not too long ago. I mean, it's clear that they're totally
let the Israeli go trying to pick up 14-year-old girls.
Right, exactly. So, you know, this whole cabinet, the whole personnel, you know, some of them are better than others. There's some, like you say, I mean, there are some good people in this administration, but this is not the vengeance cabinet. Like, let's just say it that way. This is not the golden age cabinet that we were promised. And it's not getting better. So, you know, I think they should go. I think Pam Bondi should have been fired. And it's interesting, by the way, that Laura Loomer changed her tune on that. You remember there was so much pressure to get Pam Bondi fired. Everybody wanted her to go. And now they're saying, well, you know, she's doing a good job. So it's just a lot of nonsense. A lot of this political stuff going on. It's just a lot of garbage. And nobody has time for this. So, I mean, if I were Trump, I would fire Susie Wiles. I would fire, honestly, Hegseth. I would fire Kash Patel, Pam Bondi. I'd let a lot of them go because none of these people, I think everybody realizes this. This cabinet's kind of a joke and they're not delivering for anybody. Why nobody's happy Hegseth? About this. I think that Hegseth is just not solid. I don't think he's ideologically anything. What I've been told is that he's basically manipulated. He's got, so he's alleged some people have blackmail over him. He had his whole staff purged over Signalgate. He let that guy Dan Caldwell go and a few other really solid people. So he seems to blow with the wind. I don't have a ton of confidence in him. And a lot of this goofy stuff, that whole speech that he did when they rallied all the generals, I think that was in Washington. I thought that was ridiculous. Some of these cute, cheeky little videos he's doing with the drones. I just think he's not serious. I think he's kind of a goof. And, that's not personal, but I just think he's not doing a good job.
Well,
so.
Compared to what we had, I liked his speech for the generals, but we'll talk about that. Well, you got to come back again because we've run out of time. We've got to talk about, well, just briefly. I know you have a lot of history. And I know Joe Stalin compared to Lenin could be seen as a good guy because Lenin was the real persecutor of Christians and the Russians saw Stalin as a savior when he came in and killed Lenin. He claimed he died of a stroke. But the Russians are smart to give the credit for Russia expanding under this. I love the woman you're on like, oh, he's from Georgia, Georgia, the country, all of that. Come on. I know you like strong men, but you like Joe Stalin.
Well, look. I said it on my show. I think he's an evil guy. He's obviously an evil, ruthless person signing the death warrants of millions of people. But what I've always said is he is like the archetypal great man of history. And the reason being is because he runs a dictatorship within the party. The party totally controls society. It's all on him. The buck stops with him. And when you look at where he started and where he ended, he gets total power in, like, let's say 1928. He dies in 1953. Over this 25-year period, he takes Russia from a total peasant country, failing, wartime communism, new economic plan, and he transforms it to this industrial nuclear superpower, bigger than ever. He's taken all of Eastern Europe. He's defeated Hitler. They get the bomb. I mean, so this is somebody
No doubt Stalin was a great man. But you say Mao Zedong was or Genghis Khan, they're going to make the Nazis mad like it's Stalin, too.
Yeah, well, and I think that's kind of a fun reversal because everybody expects me to be the Hitler guy or whatever. And I tell you the truth. I mean, I don't even
like
really know
winners?
That.
You like the winners?
That's one way to say it. Yeah, I always have.
No,
yes, exactly.
Hitler's a loser set up by British intelligence. All right, Nick, people find you at Nick J. Fuentes on Rumble. Thanks for coming on with us. Amazing, super viral top interview of the last month with Tucker Carlson. I'd love to come on your show as soon as you're ready. Come back on ours. Thank you so much for the time, Nick Fuentes.
Thank you, man. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Powerful interview. Powerful interview. Who do we got up next? I got countless interviews here. Who's up next? Robert Barnes. On all the stuff happening in the administration. And then Roger Stone and Kyle Seraphim and more. I didn't plug the last hour and a half. If I don't plug, we're not here. When I plug, you guys answer the call. I'm the bad person. We have ultra methylene red. It'd take an hour to get into what it has in it. Without methylene blue, it has incredible effects that are similar. With methylene blue, it's insane. Consult your physician. It's so powerful. Twice the amount in each bottle because it takes that to deliver to you for the same price as methylene blue. Get yours now up to 50% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Be the reason we'll always stay on the air. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, so much more, but ultramethylene red is like all our products. It works. I only sell you stuff that works, but this is in the top two or three products. It is absolutely game-changing, totally insane, and we have the first run of it, so it's going to sell out by Sunday at current sales rates, and you're going to love it. Those of you that sit on the fence and never got our products, the Irish Sea Moss, the Methylene Blue, any of it, get it now. You know you're not losing because you're funding the tip of the spear, but I'm selling you products that work, so just get off the fence. If I just got the majority of you on the fence to ever go to thealexjonesstore.com and just try this stuff and get delivered it and use it, you'd be so blown away. You'd be hooked. I want to thank the folks that didn't make that jump. They're the reason we're still here, but I want to encourage everybody to look at the product now so we can expand the broadcast. Methylene Blue, now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical-grade USP Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ultimate Sambucus is available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Sambucus is a fancy word for elderberry. This elderberry concoction is mixed with vitamin C and zinc. It's gummies. They're absolutely delicious. I take two of them every single day as prescribed by the directions on the bottle. Helps with things like healthy stress levels, antioxidant and immune support. It promotes respiratory health, seasonal support, and it's GMO and gluten-free. Now, not only with Ultimate Sambucus gummies are you getting a delicious way to fight for your immune system, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that Alex Jones is under relentless attack. We know that InfoWars and this crew are under relentless attack as well. And it's not just us they're coming after. Frankly, it's you. They want to silence you. They want to kill your health. They want to kill your mind. And they want to subjugate you under a New World Order government. And so as far as I'm concerned, by going to thealexjonesstore.com and getting Ultimate Sambucus gummies, you are not only fighting for your health, but you're fighting against the New World Order in the most effective way possible. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones. Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we've got my good friend, constitutional lawyer, former Trump lawyer, great historian Robert Barnes on with us, and Kyle Serafin with huge exclusive news on big scandals in the FBI and his response to Arctic Frost documents that were released yesterday by Jim Jordan's committee that he got from Senator Chuck Grassley's committee that was first broke by Brianna Morello of InfoWars yesterday. But I wanted to get Barnes on about the auto pen information, all of it, the current state of the union. But I love the idiots out there because it makes them feel official and powerful and go, well, Jones is a Fed. Jones is with the blah, blah. All I get sued, attacked, demonized because I'm promoting the Republic and common sense ideas. And here I am. In the Arctic Frost documents released yesterday, the only main reporter where they didn't have any warrant, but they have my cell phone content, and then you look at the codes I've shown to FBI, and I put it through ChatGPT, they're looking for sports gambling, campaign finance, donations, they're looking for money laundering. They're looking for anything. So what's incredible is they put their own codes. Jack Smith sending this out in 2022 to all the FBI offices. Don't find J6 stuff. Find anything on Trump, his lawyers, and Steve Bannon and Alex Jones and a few other people. So I'm honored to be on this list. And I've certainly been given proctology exam to proctology exam. I'm very straight. I don't even touch money. I got CPA, lawyers. I just do my show, live in a modest house, drive an okay car, you know, eat a steak when I want, but I mean, I ain't hurting, but I'm not Daddy Warbucks. I ain't into cash. But to me, ideology is victory. Ideology is currency. But after all the audits and all the attacks and all the stuff, here it is again, front and center, but bigger than me, hundreds of Republican key people. White House chief of counsels, head Republican Party in multiple states, dragnetted, nothing found, just like Russiagate. What does that say about Republicans? I mean, Republicans were never perfect in the old neocon era. Some were corrupt, but it was always Democrats were the grand champions. Look at Crockett, you know, with the secret bank account, secret stock portfolio. She lied. That's a felony. Said she didn't have it on its face. Insider trading. These people, like, project on us that we are them. Whereas Barnes has been my lawyer off and on for years. He checked all my stuff. I mean, it's like, I don't have time to come up with corruption. My brain doesn't work like that. Like, here's the system. Here's the thing. I don't break laws. I change laws. I don't overthrow governments. I elect new governments because that's the best, steadiest way in history to do it. So Barnes, there's a lot to cover here with the auto pen, with Arctic Frost. But to me, this is so huge. Not just because I'm in it. But because this hasn't really hit yet, we learned this last night, this morning, even ChatGPT and Grok run it through, they see the codes that are on there, most of it's blacked out. It's every crime under the universe, and they're not paying your taxes, you name it. How's this a J6 investigation run by the party that ran the J6 Fedsurrection? To me, this is just spectacularly horrible. Instead, they're talking about, well, you know, they targeted more than just these senators. And I was watching Fox during the break. I went and got some coffee, and they were still talking about, oh, a few more senators got targeted. No, this is a giant dragnet that was totally tyrannical and then found nothing. I'm actually very proud to be associated with the New Republican Party. We have literally had proctology exams. Their arms up our asses, and they haven't found anything yet. This is crazy, Barnes.
No doubt about that. It's dangerous at three different levels. One level is just what they decided to criminalize is also terrifying. The second level is how they use that pretext to do a mass surveillance campaign and secret spying campaign on populist leaders all across the nation. The third aspect is what was long suspected and what Todd Blanche wrongly shut down is that all of this was a part and parcel of the lawfare. because look at the name next to Alex Jones' cell phone. It is the plaintiff's lawyer, Mark Bankston, from the Sandy Hook cases. So he appears to have been complicit, involved in a conspiracy against federal civil rights using the civil lawsuits that, by the way, how is it they had the cell phone? I thought Infowars never turned over any records. Isn't that why they issued a default judgment? You know, another lie that was debunked by all of this. But so just that aspect shows you how all of this was part and parcel of the same thing. To silence and suppress an entire movement. To systematically and systemically violate everybody's civil rights. Which, by the way, that means every jurisdiction in the country has jurisdiction and venue to pursue a case against all
now,
of this
slow down.
Law.
This is key, because I'll show the documents in a moment. It says total jurisdiction nationwide, and they investigated civil rights violations and conspiracy against rights, exactly what they did.
Absolutely. So that means every U.S. attorney's office in the country has jurisdiction to bring a criminal case against all of those that were complicit in this, whether it's Christopher Wray, whether it's Jack Smith, whether it's John Brennan, whether it's any of them, they're all complicit in systematic mass scale. I mean, this makes
people that aren't a star lawyer like you, because I barely get it. Explain slowly what you just said, what these Arctic Frost new documents mean, why they're so huge. Explain that.
So the government systematically violated pretty much everybody's federal civil rights at some level in every part of the country because they sought records, seized records. I mean, this also reveals, I'm sure Kyle Serafin will get into this. You had every major FBI office in the entire country complicit in this. They were all signed off on this. They all partook in this. This shows the necessity of a mass purge of the FBI, if not shutting it down all together. This was illegal activity where they said it was a crime to simply challenge an election. They said it was a crime to file a civil rights lawsuit about an election. They said it was a crime to contest an election. They said it was a crime to petition for people's voting records, like voting files that you're supposed to be under FOIA, Open Records Act. If somebody made an Open Records Act request to get things like the ballots in Georgia, they were put under criminal investigation.
And how
for so
pissed
doing.
Must they be, well, that's totally legal and lawful, that again, I go back to the first point. How, I'm surprised they never found any Republican would be a Russian agent. You know, they tried to hire me. I'm surprised. I said no. They never, I'm actually, wow, the Republicans are pretty clean. They've been washing their ass.
Well, this is the populist wing that was under investigation.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we're the people that go against the system at our own detriment. Obviously, we're clean.
Exactly. The deep state crowd, the bill that was complicit in this, people like Ratburger and others from Georgia, they were not put under investigation. They were pointing fingers at their political opponents. Literally, the political establishment on both sides, on both parties, used this case to put their political opponents under criminal investigation. And further, used it as a pretext to mass spy on all of their emails, all of their phone calls, all of their financial records. If you made a donation anywhere in the nation to anybody doing any research on the, whether it was Cyber Ninjas, whether it was Sidney Powell, whether it was Brad Pascali, whether it was whether it was any of those people, you were put under investigation. That literally means everybody was civil rights were violated in literally every single jurisdiction.
So what do you make
country.
Of so far? Cause I'm not all the people targeted, so I don't know, but even the media is saying, even Congress is saying, I'm the only person where there wasn't a warrant. They were dragnets, but sure, warrants. With me, there's no warrant, major civil rights violations. This is a can of worms here.
Well, no, it appears that Mark Bankston provided this information. That he took all of your cell phone records that purportedly were for the purpose of Sandy Hook, never had anything to do with Sandy Hook. I mean, anybody watching that, seeing that could observe that. And it appears that Bankston turned it over to the federal government and was conspiring with the federal government that's a reasonable inference from these documents. So that means the Sandy Hook lawyers were neck deep in this. So Blanche, by shutting down the Alex Jones investigation Ed Martin was trying to look into, is covering up for Arctic Frost criminality. That's what he's also doing in that same process. This reveals, I mean, I agree with Kyle Serafin and the other FBI whistleblowers. This tells you almost every lead office of the FBI, the special agent in charge and assistant special agent in charge and the local legal counsel all signed off on this.
And let's go further. Let's go further. We have the documents. The DOJ illegally funded it. That's what Todd Blanche killed. Now this is a cherry on top of Todd Blanche protecting now Arctic Frost.
Exactly. And not only that, it raises questions about what the Treasury Secretary is doing. Scott Bessent, who is he the protege of? George Soros. Who is he the benefactor of? George Soros. Who made him rich? George Soros. We have ties between George Soros and the Sandy Hook funded lawsuits. We have ties between George Soros and all of the NGOs engaged in riot campaigns, including the so-called No Kings movement. So you aggregate this, but why isn't George Soros being looked at? Is it because Scott Bessent got rich through George Soros? He's now doing Soros's bidding in his war against Russia, and suckering Trump into getting further involved in that conflict and supporting money for Ukraine. And
let's
doing
talk about that. But let me ask you a selfish question, because I don't think I'm that important. Why are they, every damn investigation turns out I've been targeted, and every time they find nothing, they just double down? What is their obsession with me?
Oh, it's what YouGov confirmed 10 years ago when YouGov did a survey and looked at New York Times, followed up a few years after that, and they looked at what was the number one inspiration for the populist movement in the United States. And it was Alex Jones. YouGov showed over 30 million Americans had a very favorable view of Alex Jones, higher than Rush Limbaugh, higher than anyone else. So that made you a threat. And then the New York Times asked Republican primary voters, who do you consider a more reliable source of information? The New York Times or Alex Jones at InfoWars? The Republican primary voters said Alex Jones at InfoWars by a large margin. And that made InfoWars a target. And what they did, kind of like with the COVID mandates, where they used it to rat out and smoke out whoever was an independent thinker inside the government, inside the military at any level. That's what a part of the vaccine mandates were all about. They used anybody who challenged the 2020 election to target as the excuse and pretext to try to take out the entire populist movement, doing a dragnet macroscopic, microscopic investigation to try to find any allegations that they could mount of criminality. And the problem was the populist movement, as you know, is so clean, is so on the up and up, is so honest and ethical that they couldn't find anything of credibility.
Because the people ready, they're almost all Christians, ready to go to war even though they're attacked. I mean, it's true.
Exactly.
We've been proven. I'm not trying. It's crazy. That's how God works. So we've been shown who is the pure.
Oh, no doubt about that. This confirms that beyond any doubt. And it shows who the bastards are, to be blunt about it. The FBI, it should be called the Federal Bastard Investigation Agency. That's who and what they are. They literally try to make it a crime for lawyers like me to file a federal civil rights suit. This is insanity. I've never seen, even Hoover
well,
didn't
said
go
when
this
Trump
far.
First got reelected this year, last they said, any lawyer helping Trump, we will take your license and put you in prison.
Exactly. And if you even simply made a donation to any voter rights organization, any civil rights investigation concerning the 2020 election.
And let's be clear, you started off as a civil rights lawyer, and you still are. You're not even what you call a classic right-winger or a classical liberal, and they've come after you.
Correct. I mean, and I've represented people literally all across the political spectrum in the political and electoral and other spaces. And they're saying what I do for a living is a crime. They want that's what's unbelievable here. I mean, this is shocking at so many levels, but it isn't just the mass illicit surveillance. It's that they were saying challenging an election is criminal, is now federal fraud, is now is now a conspiracy.
And then meanwhile, they're openly saying Trump's going to suspend the election and steal it. So they're allowed to say it, but nobody else is.
Oh, completely. I mean, it was all reverse engineering. It was all a confession through projection in multiple layers and levels. But it reveals how the entire FBI is rotten at the core. This is not an agency that has a few bad apples. It is an agency where the agency itself is the bad apple. And this proves it beyond. Look at all the people who signed off on this. Look at all the internal emails. It's literally nobody says boo. Nobody challenges it at all.
Let's be clear. It's a total look for any crime you can find. Go after lawmakers, campaign finance, gambling, hookers, anything, destroy them.
Exactly. And what was the basis? If they ever challenged the election, if they ever raised questions about
the
election.
They only list people that were fighting for Trump, and then they literally think those of us that are doing all this are corrupt like them.
Yeah, exactly. There was a lot of confession through projection. They assumed that there'd be all kinds of criminality that they would find. But just the idea that the Justice Department didn't say, hold, they're supposed to have all these internal rules for a sensitive investigation. They ignored and violated all of them. Example,
Ed Martin didn't tell me, I've known him for 25 years, people know him. He's up there 18 hours a day. His wife understands he never, he has a key core 18 hours a day. Like they're trying to investigate him. This guy is literally a soldier. Like they cannot imagine there's people like that. They just can't imagine.
Well, exactly. And what it reveals is the need to have a mass purge. There need to be major policy changes. This needs to never be able to happen.
What is the answer? What should Trump do now? And let's just say it. Who are the worst actors? Is it Todd Blanche? Who is it? What do we do?
Yeah, you got to remove Todd Blanche. Send him somewhere else. He's stonewalling inside. But like, why is this information coming out from Grassley? Why didn't this come out from the Justice Department? Why didn't this come out from the FBI? Why did they hide and sit on these files like they did the Epstein files, like they're still doing with the Epstein files? Why did we need Jim Jordan to give us this information? It should have come out from the FBI right away. They should have disclosed how outrageous this is. And everybody who was anybody who signed off on this should have been fired for cause. Anybody. This was the FBI who was charged with protecting civil rights, being the lead agency violating our civil rights.
So where does this go now? I mean, do you think I can get old Trump if I need to? Take me a week, but he'd call me. But he's exhausted. What do we do about this? Because this new documents is just insane. And we have the Crossfire Hurricane and the new stuff from Tulsi Gabbard where Obama ordered it. We always knew that. I mean, this is smoking gun.
Exactly. Trump should tell Kash Patel, everybody who signed off on this is fired. Fired for cause immediately. This was systematic violation of federally protected civil rights.
By the way, Serafin's coming up. Maybe hold on with him. He pointed out to me this morning. He goes, you know, the actual head of Arctic Frost was still there. They just got rid of his deputy. The son of a bitch is still there.
Not only that, all these local offices that signed off on this. Every local office had an obligation to say no, to say this is a civil rights violation. We're not going here. Look at how many of them are refusing to prosecute James Comey. How many of them are protesting the prosecution of John Bolton? How many of them are protesting the prosecution of Letitia James? And those are legitimate criminals that had legitimate criminal referrals. Here, they didn't object a single moment in the internal documentation to any of this mass violation of federal civil rights. So if Kyle Serafin and the other whistleblowers are right, anybody that's on that list that didn't object, fire, 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 fire. This is cause to be the fire. You got to have a mass purge of these rogue agents who have co-opted and taken over the hierarchy of the FBI. If we're
and
ever
if we
gonna
don't
get
do that, what is the deep state's playbook with Trump in America?
Just to play it out, just to keep dragging it out. Keep them, drag them into Ukraine, drag them into Venezuela, drag them into Israel, drag them into these foreign policy conflicts, and slowly, steadily sabotage any effort at reform or remedy.
I agree. Look, I get it's within the Monroe Doctrine, and Trump has a right to do it. I'm not for it compared to all the other wars. If he does it, I see why he did, but I'm afraid of a CIA setup, bad pigs. What's your take on Venezuela?
Exactly. I mean, that's what it all looks like to me. Fentanyl doesn't come in from Venezuela. That comes in from China through Mexico. I'm not a fan at all of the Venezuelan government, but we got a country that's the size of Texas. The idea that we're going to easily that's filled with left-wing radicals, right-wing radicals, revolutionaries, paramilitaries, drug cartels. That looks like a disaster inviting President Trump in. And Narco Rubio of Cocaine Cowboys fame, that's how his family got wealthy, was through the Cocaine Cowboys connection in the 80s and 90s. We're going to let this guy run foreign policy? I mean, it just screams disaster. And for the ordinary American who's struggling to make ends meet, they see all this money and effort spent overseas. They're like, where's me? Where's America first? So it's a big trap. Trump should avoid the big trap. There's other ways to deal with Venezuela, other ways to deal with Maduro.
No, I respect you, and I get it's within his purview, but so you're saying, what does he do about Venezuela then?
To continue to, I mean, Grinnell actually got a good deal. He got Maduro to capitulate on everything. So as long as Maduro gets to keep the figurehead of staying in charge, he signs off on everything. China out, Russia out, all the oil back into the U.S.
Just like we just did with Panama. That was, what do you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Hegseth?
What's the deal we got done there?
I like Hegseth. What do you think?
I like Hegseth. I just think he doesn't quite have the cojones to stand up to the deep state. And I think Rubio and Bessent have co-opted a lot of Trump's foreign policy. You can't trust Bessent because of his deep Soros ties, and you definitely can't trust Narco Rubio with all of his neocon ties. And I think they're leading the president down a primrose path of peril. I mean, they have him giving a speech today in Korea where he's saying how everything is great. The U.S. economy is great. All the costs are down all the way. It's like, well, that's not the reality. He's got some things under control, so they're not as bad as they were under Biden, but we're still under Biden's depression for working class America.
So what do you make of the EBT shutoff Saturday and the No Kings and the Podesta plan? What's threatening America right now? What's the big?
The same people who are behind this, they've given us a roadmap in Arctic Frost at what they should have been doing, what we should be doing to them, because they are the criminals who they suspected they were accusing us of being. And so
James, a master of mortgage fraud, whatever they accuse us, like you said this years ago, and I was like, I knew you were right partially, but no, they only have their knowledge as criminals. So we have to understand these are real criminals. Whatever they accuse us, that's their blueprint.
Exactly. So look at the blueprint of what they were accusing people in Arctic Frost of. That's what they are guilty of. That's what the Soros NGOs are guilty of. That's who really fixed the 2020 election, who really corruptly influenced that election, who's trying to corruptly influence our politics right now. So look at the Soros NGOs, as Mike Benz details, their connection to the hedge funds, their connection to Wall Street, their connection to these corrupt organizations that are trying to kill the Constitutional Republic of America, and do the roadmap of the real criminality using their roadmap, because it's confession through projection. Just like if you took the allegations against Donald Trump, applied it to the Biden family, you had a roadmap of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's crimes. So the same thing here. Take what they tried to allege about Arctic Frost. It is true of them.
Yeah, because normal people work with the system. We try to change laws. We don't like them. The left is all about not following laws.
Exactly. Mark Bankston should be under criminal investigation for conspiring to deprive people of the federally protected civil rights.
Conspiracy against rights, right? Conspiracy against rights.
Exactly. Because that's what they're doing. That's what the Ku Klux Klan Act of 1871 is about. It's about when public and private participants collude and conspire to deprive ordinary people's civil rights. That's what I believe Mark Bankston was part of in the Sandy Hook lawfare. That's what I believe we see with the Soros-related NGOs concerning Arctic Frost. So we should...
I can tell you, they're scared, and this is about to break, so I can say it. The criminal investigations were not killed. And it wasn't just... It was a red herring. There was a whole other group doing it. They all know it now. It's about to break. But they were all tricked into that. Isn't that funny?
Well, and if there's going to be meaningful remedy, we have no choice but to put these people under the proper and appropriate investigation. Because through confession, through projection, they've laid out the template of how to get them
to
stop undermining.
Hold on, Barnes. Arctic Frost is live. I want you to, if you can stay with us, will you coast a little bit with Roger Stone coming up or Serafin?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, you're perfect for this. You're an expert. I got to do this right now. I'm going to be here. There is one variable. Well, I get struck by lightning or whatever, and I've never committed suicide if that happens, so I've been killed. But so death and you know, struck by lightning, stuff like that. The only variable left is your financial support. I'm not backed by billionaires. I'm not backed even by advertisers. We have a gold sponsor, a few $100,000 a month. It takes a lot more than that to fund ourselves. I'm here because of you buying products at thealexjonesstore.com. I don't own it. They've put in the receiver. He was here yesterday. He said you might be shut down 2 weeks from now. I don't know. I'm just like, God, this is just like, I don't want to give up. At a certain point, I'm like, let's just get it over with. But we've exhausted almost all the remedies. But they don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. That's our sponsor, funding InfoWars Now and the Alex Jones Network. Now is the action plan. You support what we're doing. You love the history of this fight. You want to be part of history? Go now to the AlexJonesStore.com. We have the best methylene blue, the best Irish sea moss, all the best supplements, and now we have methylene red. Nobody's come up with this. We went to top engineers, even asked ChatGPT, which agreed with what our engineers and scientists did. It was the ultimate formula of other compounds that mimics methylene blue, but makes it even better. We did it. Limited supply. It's going to sell out in just the next few days. I can't wait for the 5-star reviews already coming in. Get Ultra Methylene Red now. Proprietary product. The bottle's twice the size as methylene blue. Same price because it takes more room to put all the ingredients in. Get your Ultra Methylene Blue now. Be the first to get it before it sells out for up to 50% off when you subscribe. Cancel any time. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The coordinates of liberty and freedom. We only want to sell you products that really work so you love them. They're healthy. They're amazing. They empower your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Cancel any time. Get $40 to spend the store each month. Special deals, special offers, and more. Stay with us. Hour number 4, straight ahead.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel Methylene Blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at this.
Here's your normal Methylene Blue, right? Look at Methylene Red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got Methylene Blue and you got Methylene Red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
My friends know that I usually think everything's a scam, from supplements and products and vitamins. I don't take anything. I usually buy it, try it, don't feel the results, end up tossing it and wasting money. So I love Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew, and Alex kept playing this video of Robert Kennedy Jr. putting some blue drops in what looked like water. And I wanted a way to support the team, so I decided to buy this Methylene Blue. This Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Yippee-yi-yay.
Barnes is here with us. We paused the update that was live a few minutes ago with Senator Grassley and the Arctic Frost update, which we already know we're ahead of it. It's that it targeted the press, myself, it targeted Trump's lawyers, it targeted Republican leaders of the party around the country. Barnes, you got to come back tomorrow, the next few days. You're so hard to get a hold of. I love you to death. You just tell the crew when you can come on the next few days, for God's sakes, or I'll tape it at night with you. We got to do a deep dive with you because you are the expert of experts on this. But, as negative as we are, at least we're getting way more traction than we got 5 years ago, right? In the last, you know, Trump administration, those, you know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago starting. But how do we counter this? What else can we do to stop this tyranny?
The advantage of all of this disclosures is it gives the green light to every federal prosecutor, every state prosecutor, anywhere in the country now has jurisdiction to look into this. Because this was so systemic, so broad, such a wide dragnet that it basically covered every literally part of the nation, and almost every person within the country at some level was dragged into this. Because if you said anything on social media in support of it, if you were in anybody's call log, if you were in a donor list, if you were in an email list, if you were in a text list, you were targeted. This basically targeted all of MAGA throughout the entire nation. Was dragged into this investigation and inquiry, violating their federally protected civil rights, intended to intimidate and terrorize them, no less than the power of the Klan in the 1870s. And so those state and federal laws give the right and the power of every jurisdiction in the country to look at bringing cases. People should look also at bringing civil cases here, because this was a massive systemic civil rights investigation that involved private and public actors. So it was across the board. So use it as a roadmap for taking apart the corrupt Soros-oriented NGOs, for the corrupt rogue actors in the FBI and elsewhere. And everybody's got power and authority to do so at every level of investigatory and prosecutory role. And if they utilize that, then we can get back to the path of fixing this once and for all. Because what this has proven is the need for institutional reform. We need institutional reform at the FBI and the Justice Department, but we need to be able to do institutional reform by using the power that everybody has to bring their own claims in court, for prosecutors and investigators to bring claims as appropriate, because everybody was implicated by this. This was a Klan on steroids. This was Stasi Soviet-style lawfare at a level we have never witnessed in the history of the United States.
Yeah, for folks that don't know, and you're an expert on this, and you literally grew up and did this and fought the Klan yourself, Representative Wesley Snipes, everything else, the Klan was a pussy group compared to all this, but they were doing it in the South. It was judges, it was lawyers, it was newspapers, it was business people. It wasn't just their ground forces dynamiting black churches or shooting black people. It was a organized crime syndicate. We have laws to counter this, and that is literally what the Democrats are doing, which is the party of the KKK.
Exactly. Klantifa is just an extension of the old KKK. And now we know they weaponized the entire federal government law enforcement apparatus to suppress and censor and take out our civil rights and civil liberties. That is
the same stuff they did to Martin Luther King with the COINTELPRO.
Exactly. In fact, it's just 10 times worse.
In fact, isn't what Jack Smith and Arctic Frost is COINTELPRO 2.0 or is it 5.0?
It's COINTELPRO on steroids. I mean, it's COINTELPRO times two. It's exponential COINTELPRO. That's what this was. That's what this is. And it needs to be exposed as such. Credit to Senator Grassley. Credit to Congressman Jordan. We need to see more action from the FBI. Need more action from the Justice Department. But everybody should see this as a green light to take action themselves in the civil legal arena and in the criminal legal arena.
Well, my lawyers want to talk to you because we already have suits. We already got all the documents. We haven't released the big stuff yet. We need to have a conference. We'll fly to Austin. I'll rehire you again. We're ready to go to war. We ready to follow the lawsuits?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. We have to in order to get real remedy to protect our constitutional republic, or it's all done for.
Is she ready for the conspiracy against rights lawsuit?
Absolutely.
We got DOJ backing on that. Barnes, during the break, set a time to come back on right now. We love you. Robert Barnes, you can find him, vivabarneslaw.locals.com, Barnes_law. Be sure to follow him. Thank you, Robert Barnes. We love you.
Happy to be here.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Debark the ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Rogue 2, are you all right?
Yeah. I'm with you, Rogue Leader.
Well, send our food. I'll cover for you.
Distance to power generators.
17.28.
Maximum firepower.
Seraphin, who I've been begging to come on for weeks, has major breaking news about the people above Arctic Frost. They removed the agent that ran it, but not the controllers. Then our job is to expose corruption. Democrats, Republicans, we don't give a damn. That's a great part of being a patriot and just being truthful. We don't think about consequences. Justice be done when the heavens fall. We expose it. We have the FBI director and all the things he's involved in and the things he's doing and desperately trying to shut down Kyle Serafin with a viral tweet on X about during the shutdown, what is he doing using the private FBI jet to fly for a private party? Because we can't be the Democrats. We have to be better than them. And we have to get rid of the dead wood and not sit here and bow down. And because behind the scenes, everybody says Todd Blanche is horrible. Everybody says Cash Patel is horrible. Everybody says Pam Bondi is just a person that wants to be on TV. But they're all cowards. They won't say it on air. Well, Kyle Serafin will. I will. But Todd Blanche, long before he killed the investigation a month ago, which he didn't kill, by the way, I'll just leave it at that. You know, long before that happened, we knew he would pull that. It's okay, because now it's all coming out. But first, I want to look at Timothy R. Tebolt, which is not the NFL player, and who is still in place. It's our job. Trump doesn't know all this. He has 4 million employees, these white pill Q people. Oh, don't question anything. It's all trillion DHS. No, it's not. And Kyle Serafin is not trying to put notches in his belt, but literally he's batting 1,000 right now as the most famous FBI whistleblower in history. So much what we know about the deep state attacking Catholics and Christians and raping kids in schools and covering it up is because of him and a few other people. And here he is again, spotlighting a major cockroach. So let's do this first on his overall take on the new documents that came out on Arctic Frost with myself and others targeted, and this total blueprint of look for gambling, look for campaign finance fraud, look for money laundering, look for anything criminal to all the FBI offices, not just January 6th, which is a Fed insurrection, but now this giant dragnet. We have that, and then we have them doing this, and we have who is actually was in charge of all of this. This is key information. So, Kyle Serafin, thank you so much for your time, your unpopular podcast, and all the great work you do. Make a search engine, Kyle Serafin, to find your daily podcast and more. You got a lot to cover, so I'm going to try in the 20 minutes we have left to just shut up and let you go. But let's go first before the big news on them. So scared of this Cash Patel running around in the private jet, millions of dollars a week, you know, all this during the shutdown. Yeah, we're not actually supposed Democrats doing this. We expose everybody. But first, let's hit this big enchilada, Kyle Serafin.
All right, Arctic Frost, right? So you got Chuck Grassley out there talking about it. You got Josh Hawley out there making news. Everybody wants to go out and get a soundbite. Everybody wants to chip in $5 in our email. Can you help me support? We're fighting tyranny, the FBI. We're going to get it back on track. All this kind of nonsense is BS. And what's troubling is, Alex, and I'm actually going to disagree with your previous guest. I haven't talked to Barnes about this, but I think he's overly optimistic about what's happening there. What we are seeing is that the media and even the right-wing coverage of it, generally people who we might agree with on a lot of topics, they are seeing the trees and they are going, look at all these terrible trees. What they are missing is the bigger, broader, and more dangerous forest. And the forest is the FBI is not like a bunch of people who are partisan actors. They're not a bunch of political hacks that are out there. There are some of them. They removed one. You mentioned Timothy Tebow. So he's on the main front page of that released documents. It's the series of stuff that they declassified and they've released out to the public. It's heavily redacted, by the way. Tim Tebow was removed in November of 2022. The guy that replaced Tim Tebow, who continued on with that investigation as the assistant special agent in charge of the criminal branch 2 over at Washington Field Office, and that's very specific, so the people who are listening should know who to find. That's Dave Geist. They should be able to find the people that actually were involved in this continuing on. And what they did is they said, yep, we knocked out a couple of people. We didn't redact the name of Walter Gardena. We didn't redact the name of a couple other people you see on there. If you see on your screen right now, folks, what you're seeing is the cover sheet or the opening for the case of Arctic Frost. And the names that you'll see on there are Brian Turner, who's gone, and Jason Jones, who's gone, and Luis Quesada, who's gone, and Steve D'Antuono, who's gone, and Tim Tebow, who's gone, and Paula Bate, who was the deputy director, and he's gone.
What you don't see are the names that are redacted, and those redacted people still work for the FBI. That's Tim Tebow right there. He was walked out, and my sourcing says that when he left the building at Washington Field Office, he was in tears. He was forced to retire. But he was a partisan actor. He was a Trump hater. His social media indicated as much.
Tell us who Dave Geist is.
They thought they were getting away with this.
Tell us who Dave Geist is.
So he was the ASAC that continued on and took over the position after Tim Tebow left. So Tebow was exposed for his political tweets and some stuff that he posted on social media that was obviously Trump hating, and it was a bad optic, and so they got rid of the guy. And so fine, that's what they did. But listen, the FBI is like every other organization. You pull out one piece of management, another person steps in either as an acting, or they hire somebody to do that job. Someone gets promoted into the role. And the people that got promoted into those roles, what Barnes was saying is that now we have this ability to go after everybody, and we can go out and root out the corruption and find the bad guys. And that sounds really optimistic and rah-rah America. I'm a little bit more pessimistic, and here's the reason why, Alex. I read that document, and I saw something that was heavily researched, that was incredibly well thought out, and it was approved at every single level of the federal government to include the Attorney General of the United States, the top person of the DOJ. What we saw was DOJ buy-in. Then we saw the DAG, the Deputy Attorney General. We saw the AAG for the criminal branch signed off on it. We saw that the Deputy Director of the FBI, which might as well be the director, it's the number two person, but it has equal power to approve. They're a delegate of the actual director of the FBI. Then we saw the ADIC of the field office, which is the top person in that office. We saw the chief division counsel, who's the top attorney. We saw the office of general counsel. We saw the office of the public sector. Every single part of the FBI agreed to it. Every single part of DOJ agreed to it. You also had the postal inspector agree. You had the people who are at the National Archives agree. So all of this stuff, they can be outraged all they want, and they can go raise $5, per person and try to do some grassroots fundraising, and everybody from Grassley to Lindsey Graham is going to go get some money on it. But this was a legal operation. It was actually predicated as a legal operation. The things they did were, strictly speaking, legal. And so the broader picture that most people are not going to grab, and you're not going to hear other people talk about, because it's just an incredibly dangerous scenario, and there's nothing that we can really do without a total renovation, something I've been talking about for a while now with you and others. You cannot fix the FBI without fixing the people in the FBI, and we haven't done that. I sent your guys a meme, and the meme is essentially the same sort of like the pitch, the Don Draper standing up by a document, and he just says, hey, reform, but with the same guys. The same people who worked at the FBI before Trump was in are the same people who worked there before. They're still there. This reform attitude about using the same people is what Kash Patel is going to fail at. You can't fix it because the people who work for the FBI don't have the moral character.
Totally agree. So you sent me the guy that was the puppet, but you have to help us because I want to put it on screen. The guy that was in charge of him, Dave Geist. How do you spell that?
It's G-E-I-S-T. You can't find a picture of him online. He's actually really pretty smart. A lot of these guys have gone and they've reduced their footprint, so their LinkedIns are gone. Even though they used to always be out there looking for the next job when they retire, they've realized that we're outing them.
Well,
we're exposing them.
So it's Dave what?
It's Golf Echo India Sierra Tango Geist. I've gone looking for him. I can't find pictures of him.
And
but
so
I know what he did, and I know
so
where he was at.
We're spotlighting who was actually behind Arctic Frost. So I get you're saying it's political. They brought it out. But how amazing is it? Because we put it through ChatGPT. I talked to you, others. This is literally a dragnet. Was there gambling? Was there money laundering? Was there campaign finance?
Right.
Jack Smith wasn't looking for J6 attacking the Capitol. He was saying to the FBI across the country, find me anything. And then they all signed on to it. So doesn't that open this up to grand juries around the country to investigate this?
I think what this does is it shows you that there is a problem with the actual institution, because this was, strictly speaking, a legal operation. You had authorization from the AG, which is a presidential appointee, like the assigned to do this work. The law supports that. The way that the FBI does business is under the Department of Justice guidelines, which are written up by the Attorney General. It's called the AGG DOM, which is the Domestic Operations Manual.
Who are the
good
people?
So this is a legal thing.
I really respect you. Who are the good people? Who are the bad people? What is currently happening right now in the administration? Let's just call balls and strikes. I'm not saying you're God, you have all the answers, but I have stuff like this. I have stuff like this. Because I know criminal coverage. I've been on there 31 years. Normally the FBI or even locals put out their case. They know it's a war with the jury. They do. Oh no, we're not releasing anything on Charlie Kirk. And I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, folks. You know, I tend to think it's a leftist. They said they'd kill him. They celebrated all of it. But then they 3,000 people gag order all this. Now, Kash Patel shuts down Charlie Kirk foreign intelligence probe, an explosive feud with Trump's counterterrorism chief. who wants to look at all of it. What is this? I mean, why would they be actively covering something up if it's not there?
So what I understand with this information is that Joe Kent's one of the good guys. This is from people that I trust that have, you know, dealt with him, that have spoken to him directly. Joe Kent actually talked to me and he didn't have any reservations with having a short chat with me. So when the guy who's in charge of counterterrorism, who's working on with and on behalf of people in ODNI, and they're looking to try to figure out, hey, what is the intelligence aspect of this? Is there a foreign nation involved? That's what the question has to do. Was Charlie Kirk's killer influenced, operated, goaded, groomed, etc., by some foreign nation? Or was it just somebody who was radically, you know, radical online because of what their own, you know, ingestion was? Was it organic or was it something that was targeted? The only way that you do that is you do a full investigation. I sent you guys another piece of it because my instinct is, and I'm just reading between the lines here, the FBI is not well respected over at ODNI. It's part of the intelligence community, and this is something I know from my time there. It's part of the intelligence community that really doesn't fit because it's really supposed to be a law enforcement agency, so they're not very good at doing intelligence. They're dangerous because they have that access and the capability, but it doesn't mean that the people in the intelligence sphere think about them as peers. I'll give you a real quick example. If the FBI were to send what we call a SME or a subject matter expert on fill in the blank, you know, terroristic threat, that person may have 2-3 years in, they're a youngish analyst, and they're considered an FBI subject matter expert because they've been doing it for a couple of years. When you talk to somebody at CIA, when you talk to somebody at NSA, when you talk to somebody at ODNI that's working this threat, they have 20 plus years under their belt, and it's the only thing that they think about every single day, and they know every aspect of the thing that they'd be worried about. So they're truly subject matter experts, and then we send these kind of half-assed people in from the bureau, and they sit in the same room, and they're totally outclassed with their knowledge base and their experience. So when ODNI wants to look into it, if a Joe Kent wants to look into it and say, hey, can we take a look at what you got going on? The FBI is afraid of being embarrassed regularly. And the same people who are in the FBI that don't want to share information, whether it because it exposes them badly, because it reflects poorly upon the bureau, it shows an inability to protect threats. There's a lot of reasons why they may want to do it. They don't want to share information with the rest of the what's called the USIC, or the United States intelligence community. And my instinct is that the foreign nation involvement here, and this is purely my analysis, this is purely my thought process from looking at some other things that have been going on. We saw those server farms that were cracked out in New York, right? We saw that those things were taken down. There were 100,000 plus SIM cards and
China?
They were able to take down telco. This is China. Yeah. And so the odds are is not only can they do taking down of telco networks or shutting down 911 or screwing up with our critical infrastructure, they're also operating sophisticated bot networks that are completely infiltrating the free platforms, Reddit, Discord, Facebook. If you can sign up, these AI bots can now go through the factor authentication.
Just to not be embarrassed.
They don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to be part of the, like being exposed for having failed a threat analysis. What we do know is that the FBI was not the lead entity on this bot network situation. That was actually done by HSI. And as I understand it, they didn't go to any of the FBI assets who normally would be the lead investigative unit because they didn't trust that the FBI could either do it or were competent enough to do it or would do it without
sure,
being
so
like some
is
sort
all
of compromise.
Really sophisticated. Talk to me like I'm 5 years old because I know a lot of what you're saying. You know a lot more than me and I know the audience is smart, but you know, they're probably not understanding it.
Yeah,
because I barely did.
Simple words are.
What the war for the soul of America is in the Justice Department, obviously. It's the most powerful thing domestically, with the most powerful country in the world. What is your grade of Trump right now? Who is the problem in the administration? I mean, okay, Trump calls you in the White House and says, call Serafin, which would be a smart thing. What do I do to save America? What do you do?
Well, he's never really had good Justice Department picks. And he doesn't have a Justice Department that works on his behalf. It doesn't work on behalf of the Constitution of the American people. So that's the biggest problem. I would reference the Durham report, which was very simple. It said you cannot fix it with policy. You cannot fix it with lots of procedures. What you need are people that are actually going to be 100% dedicated to their oath above anybody who's in the administrations. So that's really hard to do. And I don't know that you can do it. And I think what the FBI has proven with Arctic Frost, with some of the stuff I've exposed about radical traditionalist Catholics and so on, these problems are not like a rogue case. I heard Barnes use the word like rogue operators. I actually think that this is what the institution does. I think that's what the FBI has always done. In the 19-teens, it went after communists, which we kind of are like, yeah, okay, we don't like communists, but they still have a First Amendment right. You know, they went after a lot of different other communists. They went after Japanese in the internment during World War II. They went after people for First Amendment protected things.
Then it was Muslims,
and
it's diplomatic power. Now it's Catholics. So let me ask you this.
Exactly.
You got the floor right now. How does this end with Trump 10 months in? Yeah, better than 8 years ago, but not enough. no kings, the left, calls for violence, the EBT's cut off. Big picture, just as an American, as a father, as a husband.
Yep.
Give us the State of the Union. We got 6 minutes to break out the floor. What is the state of America right now?
I would love it if Donald Trump zoomed out and didn't go for a win, because I know a lot of people want to see retribution and they want to see certain people in jail, and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do that. When I'm seeing that case is properly predicated and it's documented very meticulously. I don't think you're going to get people on there, because what they did was, strictly speaking, legal. That's the biggest thing. So how do you fix the problem when the actual institution is the problem? That's what I see. DOJ, we probably need it. Unfortunately, we probably need a federal prosecution ability. But I'm not confident we need federal law enforcement the way that it is right now. And I certainly don't want to see them doing arrests. And I don't want to see them rounding up Alex Jones or having the director of the FBI's girlfriend sue me. I don't like any of it. I think it's all bad. I think going after people at anti-ICE protests who don't like ICE, they have a right to do that. That's an American right. And what we're doing is we're just pinging the ball from one side of the pendulum to the other side. So now the right's got it. So we're going to go after Antifa. We could have done that a long time ago. We never did. The FBI should have cases in Portland they could have done, and they didn't do it. I think the way that Trump has to address this is he had Bill Barr come in February of 2020, and he put in some memos and some policies that was explicitly supposed to stop the politicization and stop political investigations, because he just went through it, right? He just went through the Russiagate scandal. And what do? In this Arctic Frost document, they actually cite Bill Barr's memo, and they went by all the things that were necessary. They checked all the boxes, and they still opened the damn case. I think we've proven that the FBI cannot be trusted with the power that the FBI wields. So whether it's reincarnated as a very small, specifically federal law enforcement that cannot touch intelligence, or whether it doesn't exist at all and we give that money back to the states and we start hiring state officers to do the job. You got 10 years as a statey. You got 10 years as a state trooper. You're a Texas Ranger. We'll let you do federal prosecutions. We'll deputize you. By the way, we already do that for task force. I'm not sure that the FBI can be trusted with the power it's had. I've been pretty keen on that for a while, that it's really problematic. Cash Patel is proving to me that he's not the one who's willing to wield it. He's not de-weaponizing. He's trying to get some partisan wins. He slapped his name, for God's sake, on every single page that they just released. It says it like some kind of an influencer. It says produced by FBI Director Cash Patel. What is that? We're seeing people try to take political wins on something that should be saying, how do we save this institution? How do we save Americans from having their government target them?
I wish I could advise Patel, be a leader. Go after the deep state. People will worship you if that's what you want. Don't play PR games. So let me ask you this big question. This is off record, so you say what you say. You put out a tweet that's had millions of views with Cash Patel flying around the private jet during the shutdown to private events. We're not trying to bring down the Trump administration. We're trying to keep him honest. The administration, Susie Wiles, got very upset about this if it gets picked up. We're not raising this so it gets picked up. It's already been picked up. We don't want to act like the bad guys. So give us this huge piece of this.
Look, Cash Patel took a private jet that the FBI and you and I pay for. It's a federal government jet. And he flew up to State College to go watch his girlfriend sing a song at a wrestling event. And then he flew and followed her home. And I don't know whether she was on the plane or not. I'm trying to find that out, and I will eventually. Flew out to Nashville. I called this out under Chris Wray. That's what you guys are showing on the screen. I have been very consistent. My whistleblower activity on this particular topic of abuse of the FBI's jet was very tuned in on Chris Wray. And I actually sent your producers the actual email whistleblower disclosure, which I think is very ironic. It's the thing that I sent to Josh Hawley's office. It was in November of 2022. And the craziest thing about this email is the first line of it says, and you guys can maybe even zoom in on it. It says, I got your information from Cash Patel. I sat and had a dinner with Cash Patel January of 2023. There were four people at the table, myself included. And what did we talk about? But the abuse of the FBI director's jet. And that is the reason why he took it to True Social, and he tweeted out things, or he trushed out things, whatever you call it, saying that the FBI director's jet should be grounded. It's one of the reasons why I thought he understood the problem. And so the optics are, here's Trump trying to paint this as a Democrat shutdown. I think that's a mistake. I think they should just own it and just destroy the government and get it made really, really small, because you could do it right now. But they're trying to say this is a Democrat shutdown, that it's Chuck Schumer's fault. And you got Cash Patel flying out to see his girlfriend, who's half his age, to go sing a song. The maintainers of the jet are not getting paid. The people who fuel the jet are not getting paid. The people who clean the jet are not getting paid. The FBI employees outside of the agents who fly it are not getting paid. And he's out there jet setting like a millionaire, or more accurately, like a billionaire. And it looks terrible. It's an absolutely terrible optic coming from the same guy who said
cover up corruption. And so we have to expose.
Yeah, he said he was going to make this go away. This was a thing that he actually told me when we sat face to face, that this was a problem and we're going to straighten it up.
And now he's a grand champion. So they're really concerned about this, right? The White House, they get this is really stupid, which is not us highlighting it. We're not bad. This is a problem. Shouldn't be being done.
I already got phone calls from the New York Times. I got phone calls from NBC, CBS, everybody who saw it. Bulkwork just did a piece on it as well. I'm pointing out things that are ideologically consistent because I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. And all I want to see is nobody waste our money. That's your money and my money that we pay in taxes. And I know you cut a big check every year. Nobody wants to see that money spent on a guy who's running around to hang out with his girlfriend. And then he pays the federal government back like $200 for a $30,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 flight.
We don't want a bunch of Hollywood wannabes. We want war.
That's right.
We want to save the country.
Yeah.
And we're not like the Democrats. Yeah. They're in a cult to cover stuff up. It's simple.
Well, and if you find out that a unit in your military is working against you and fighting against you and going to be turning around and be subversive later, you disband the damn unit, you fire everybody, and maybe you lock them up. That's what needs to be happening to our FBI.
No, America got this problem by turning a blind eye. We don't do it anymore. Kyle Serafin, everybody should follow your work. Just search your name, and they will find it. Join us again soon, the next few days. You've been gone too long the last month. Kyle Serafin, thank you so much. Roger Stone, straight ahead. Incredible news.
Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it, because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexJonesStore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it, and he's skeptical. But I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try Ultramethylene Blue, exclusively available at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. louder. Go to AlexJonesApp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
You know, I'm not looking for trouble, but I'm not going to roll over to slavery. And I am proud of the fact that in the last 10 years, every major globalist investigation, every major witch hunt, every major attack plan, I have been on the list and near the top of the list. Because that means I'm over the target. That means I'm giving them hell. There's only a few people, though, that on average have been above me in some of the lists. I'm a little bit jealous of. That's Roger Stone, General Flynn, Donald Trump. But seriously, this Arctic Frost stuff comes out. Huge hundreds of pages. And the key that's only getting picked up now, we put it through ChatGPT. I talked to FBI sources that can read the codes because a lot of this stuff's just codes at the top. It's all blacked out. Mass surveillance, gambling, campaign finance, money laundering, drugs. They were like all FBI nationwide, January 6th. Members of Congress, Trump supporters, his lawyers, Alex Jones, Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, find us something, put them in prison. Nixon had like 115 names or whatever it was. Roger was his confidant as the expert. He was telling me how many. It was like 100 and something names in a safe. And there was a note about he thought about using the IRS on people. We had the Obama administration target tens of thousands of Republican nonprofits and NGOs, hundreds of thousands of Republican voters. They bragged on MSNBC. Well, you're Republicans. You deserve it. So they've always been thousands of times worse than Republicans. But the biggest takeaway is all these witch hunts against Roger Stone and countless other people, and now this new one, not just Crossfire Hurricane, but Arctic Frost, they targeted hundreds of Republican law firms, Trump supporters, journalists like myself. In many cases, warrantless searches had my phone, and they found nothing. Well, no shit, Sherlock. Everything I say is on air. I've been on air 5 hours today. I did hours this morning. I'll be on at midnight tonight with Xi Jinping coverage. But again, they project on us like Jasmine Crockett, who has secret bank accounts, secret stock portfolios. That's a felony to lie about that. But will she be indicted? Don't hold your breath. So these people project their own criminology onto us. They think we're like them. And imagine how they feel. Thousands of investigations, probably billions spent, and they can't get anything. Because we're not scum like you. We don't break laws. We disagree, we change laws. A little bit different. We don't break laws, we change laws. Like getting rid of tax on baristas and bartenders and masseuses and waiters and waitresses. Yeah. We don't break laws, we change laws. So Roger Stone's with us to the end of the show. Really appreciate him joining us. With the auto pen scandal, all of it illegitimate, top-level House investigation unit, Arctic Frost, total proof of weaponization, beyond just trying to find something, you know, about election or whatever. This is insane. And the question is, what comes next? Roger Stone of StoneZone.com, Trump's former top political advisor and 50-year confidant, Roger Stone. Where do we start here? I mean, this is just insane.
Alex, wait 1 minute here. Hold on.
Well, there we go. Methylene blue.
Stuff's unbelievable. I mean, I'm putting in 16, 18-hour days. I got unbelievable focus. And no, Alex doesn't pay me to say this, and he didn't know I was going to say it. Now, let's go to the topic.
Roger, we are in the elite club to be the most targeted. I mean, are you kind of proud of yourself?
Well, Alex, you know, this, you're right about, this is a grand tradition. Franklin Delano Roosevelt used the IRS to harass his political enemies very famously. Senator John Kennedy defeated Vice President Richard Nixon in 1960. It was not coincidental that Nixon got a random audit in 61, 62, only ending after, 63, only ending after Jack Kennedy was dead. You saw,
and he said, Obama. I admit I didn't declare one thing. It was a Cocker Spaniel.
Exactly. As we know, Obama weaponized the IRS against conservative and Tea Party organizations and other libertarian and right-leaning groups. But this is beyond all of that. This is, remember when Nixon had the enemies list? Well, let's be very clear. There was no enemies list. This was basically a concoction of John Dean, who, as you know, was the guy who planned, pushed, covered up the Watergate break-in. And once he decided to move left and try to become a whistleblower on his own illegal actions, he was the one who invented the idea of an enemies list. But the left went insane. They went completely insane. Now, it's also true that Nixon often talks in the Watergate tapes about using the IRS against people, but there's no evidence that Bob Haldeman, his chief of staff, ever carried out those orders. So, but this is an extraordinary thing where the National Republican Association of Attorney Generals, InfoWars, General Flynn. I mean, it is beyond ridiculous. Ed Martin who's currently at the Justice Department, Dan Scavino, the head of the Office of Presidential Personnel, one of the original Trump.
Is this not a blueprint of who the Patriots are?
It is, but I mean, targeted with what probable cause? You just don't like our politics? That's the irony here. You have they're out there saying Trump is on a rampage of revenge and retaliation against those who try to keep him accountable. No, Trump is insisting that those who broke the law and violated the Constitution beyond belief, spied on him, spied on his campaign, later spied on Republican senators, that those people be held accountable. And if they've broken the law, they should be prosecuted. There's no question that Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Rice, Obama, Biden, Mueller, Rosenstein, these people engaged in a seditious conspiracy. Let's see if a grand jury.
But these documents, even above Cross for Hurricane, these are so bombshell. They're literally saying we have his phone without a warrant. They're literally saying we're find any crime, get them. I can't believe they admitted this on record. Like, this is total weaponization admitted.
No, I mean, look, they tried to destroy the people whose voices are the loudest. This is why they came after InfoWars. That's why they've gone through all these bogus, defamation actions, which all you ever did was exercise your First Amendment right. So, I mean, they certainly went after me. You went after General Flynn. How is it the people on the list, there were targets? Yes, I think that's abundantly clear, but it's consistent with Jack Smith's entire,
modus operandi.
Not illegal and unconstitutional efforts to remove Donald Trump. When a federal prosecutor is coordinating with state prosecutors in Georgia, and Arizona and Nevada, New York particularly, to bring all these ridiculous litigations, when there is no violation of crimes, the formation of an alternate elector state is a constitutional and legally protected act. It was done in the election of 1877 multiple times. Richard Nixon, and John Kennedy had a fight over this. It appeared on election night that Nixon had carried Hawaii. Kennedy insisted once the absentees were counted, he would be the victor. He formed an alternative elector slate. It was good for him.
Yeah, it's totally normal, all legal. So right. Now, Senator Grassley just gave an update. Sorry, go ahead.
Jack Smith twisted that into a crime. It is not a crime.
So Grassley just gave an update. Now we learn that Sinclair, Newsmax, not just you and I, not just Steve Bannon, Laura Trump, everybody. This was exactly what I was told by DOJ sources months ago. It was a dragnet to put thousands of us in jail. This is treason.
It certainly sounds like it to me. I mean, Sinclair, Newsmax, this is, they're really going for, and InfoWars, obviously, they're going for the guts of any alternative reporting that reaches millions and millions of people and motivates, particularly as Fox has decided to, whatever they're doing, moving to the center or whatever you want to call
so
it.
So what happens now that this is all coming out?
Well, that depends, I think, solely on our Justice Department. Let's kind of start at the beginning. The Russian collusion hoax has now been completely and totally exposed by declassifications by Tulsi Gabbard to be a fraud. The head of the Central Intelligence
Agency. And Obama, the documents directed it, like smoking gun.
It is there. The CIA director exposes the role of John Brennan. So the question is a simple one. Were those who engaged in the greatest single dirty trick in American history, those who engaged in the greatest single abuse of power, in American history, a seditious conspiracy that is born in the White House or in a meeting that Obama presides over, and all of the co-conspirators are there, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Rice, and so on. That conspiracy goes all the way through the Russian collusion hoax, two completely fabricated and phony impeachment trials. Then we go into the January 6th insurrection, and then we go into the documents case in which the president is entitled to have any document he wants under the Presidential Records Act. Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who was the judge in my case, ruled for Bill Clinton in an action in that regard. Bill kept classified documents in his sock drawer. So why they raided Mar-a-Lago pretty clear, to get back the documents that incriminated
them.
Which
you first predicted. So here's the bottom line.
The documents that Tulsi Gabbard has now declassified.
So here's the bottom line. You got the floor right now. It's the 10 minutes we have left. Where are we? What do we need to do? You have them with the EBTs about to be shut off, the SNAP. They're at desperate, record low approval rating, record low fundraising. They're in total panic mode. All they want is civil war. Everything's coming unraveled. What's going to happen next? What should we do?
Well, a couple of things I think are important. First of all, for the base of people who believe in Donald Trump and justice, people who want to see accountability and justice, then this Justice Department needs to move ahead to put this information in front of a grand jury. I would argue that because it's a conspiracy that runs all the way to the Mar-a-Lago raid, in which they go through Melania's panty drawer, just as they went through my wife's garment drawer, this can go to a grand jury in the Southern District of Florida. And I think you get a fair trial there as well. So, but is that happening? Is there somebody empowered to do that? I don't know. It's not a matter of public record, but I think the people who love Donald Trump and love this country think that the Brennans and the Clappers and the Comeys, and the Rosensteins, and Obama and Biden themselves need to be held accountable. And this idea that that's revenge or retaliation is nonsensical. And for them to say that we're the ones weaponizing the criminal justice system, this is like the entire American public had amnesia. Are they really that stupid? Because their crimes are so completely and totally naked. So this is why I think, for example, that the New York Attorney General Letitia James should be prosecuted for mortgage fraud and bank fraud. She says that this is rarely prosecuted, but she herself has prosecuted people in New York for this exact crime. So I think that trial should go forward. I'm still vexed by the question of Adam Schiff. It is very clear. These are all public documents that
Maryland, for those that don't know, we have the internal DOJ people saying there's not evidence, even though they have it ready to indict. They're blocking it again, which goes back to the DOJ. We got to name names at a certain time. I know we're trying to approximate exactly who's behind this, but the good news is Trump is impatient. He's not going to put up with this very long.
I think that the president has promised the people justice, and I think he expects that those.
But he needs us to spotlight who we think is bad, so he makes the right decision.
Well, look, we have an attorney general. We have a deputy attorney general. It is up to them, working with Cash Patel and the FBI, to move forward. Now, for all we know, that's happening. There may be a grand jury impanel that we're unaware of, or there may be subpoenas, in, say, the Brennan case. I'm sure you saw Brennan was referred by the House Congress. Committee, the Justice Committee, just days ago to Pam Bondi.
And I love his statement, like, James, this is weaponization. This is hurting my family. They brought false charges. We have real charges. It's so oxymoronic what they're doing.
Alex, that's a huge difference. I mean, Letitia James prosecutes Donald Trump under a state law in which no one has ever in the history of the state been prosecuted, claiming that he inflated the value of his assets that he used as collateral for real estate development
on paid off debts.
The banks said, that's very nice of Mr. Trump. We'll do our own due diligence. They look at his properties. They determine him to be creditworthy. They make $40 million in interest. He pays them back on time. So where's the crime? Who is the victim?
No, there is no crime. So let me ask you this big picture. Let me ask you big picture. How do we, what about the EBT being cut off? The Democrats, record low fundraising, record low poll numbers. They're losing. They're dying as a party. Election fraud being exposed. What do we need to be worried about? What are they about to pull?
Well, there's one other key point here, and I think that will contribute to the downfall of the Democratic left, and that is there needs to be full investigation and accountability regarding Act Blue. Act Blue is the payment processing
caught red-handed, billions that they have used, money, totally illegal,
extraordinary numbers of strange money. I mean, this has many facets. You can go to find a woman in Las Vegas. Or outside Las Vegas, who gave to a U.S. Senate Democrat in Florida 27 times. When you go knock on her door, she doesn't know who you're talking about, and that's not her credit card. That kind of thing. To the nth degree, and then huge amounts of money from the Soroses and others that are siphoned in the case of small and medium-sized contributions. That's what the pattern of investigation by James O'Keefe and others.
Yeah, show. That's the question. Where do we attack the deep state?
I think that is cuts off a huge amount of their phony campaign funding. Look, Mamdani is a perfect example of this, Alex. Mamdani is not some grassroots phenomenon.
Oh, it turns out Obama, Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, I mean, but just the financing of it. It is a very strange interlocking connection of nonprofits, 501c4s, 501c3s, political parties shifting money back and forth. It's all a contrivance. This guy is an internet sensation, right? He's all over Instagram. He's all over TikTok. How come in his first campaign finance report, not a single person bothered to go to his website and punch the contribute button? Not one? And then they very quickly amended their report.
This money been caught in a ton of lies. Isn't he good overall as a referendum on the Democrats, though? Almost hoping he gets elected.
Well, talk about the impact of his election. I feel very badly for the people of New York, because this is a guy who's been very clear. He's going to defund the police. He's opposed to cash bail of any kind. He says that criminals, the only purpose to incarcerate criminals is to please their victims. This is a guy who's already announced he's going to pay for all of his free giveaways after he nationalizes the grocery stores. By raising taxes on white people.
Yeah, the guy is a political suicide bomber.
There's no question about it. So this is not going to be good for New York. Large employers will leave. Small employers will just close. There'll be a huge mass exodus. Property values will go down. Property values in the suburbs will go up. Many people already moving to Florida. So this is going to be a disaster. And if the voters want to see what happens when you elect communists, when you elect jihadi communists in this case, you'll just look at New York City.
So what is your prediction? Is he going to win?
I'm afraid that he does, yes. Andrew Cuomo is just weak toast. And it wasn't all that long ago.
Killing old people and doing all – it's like, why can't the Democrats field something real?
But it's even worse than that, Alex. This is a man who actually said, if you believe in the right to bear arms or you support the right to life, there's no place for you in New York. You need to leave here. That's
no,
what
I'm
saying.
I morally oppose somebody mad, so I oppose Mondami with 100%, but I also sit back sick going, when he crashes New York, this is a referendum for 2026, 2028, right?
No, the whole world will be able to see this is what happens. This will be the classic example. This will be exhibit A in the fact that socialism and communism don't work. The city's going to be a wreck by the time of the next presidential.
Yeah, so we fight him 100%. We don't take a dive, but then, all right, you know.
Well, I mean, look, he's going to have a progressive majority on the city council, and it's very clear that Governor Hochul, who does have huge financial strings on the mayor based on the way New York State government, city and state government is financed, is clearly not going to stand up to him because she needs the support of the far left to survive her own upcoming gubernatorial
primary.
So
the left is fully taking control of the Democrats. They're not going to reform now, like Bill Maher wished they would. They're going to get worse. So what is the Democratic Party about to turn into? Just howling, even more psychopathic?
Let me tell you something, Alex. When AOC calls Chuck Schumer, Chuck breaks into a cold sweat. Okay? Kathy Hochul, who's got some of the highest unfavorable ratings, she was lieutenant governor. She was a gift left to the people of New York by Andrew Cuomo when he was forced out of office. And he quit just ahead of impeachment, not because he jammed COVID patients into nursing homes, which is what I think he should have gone down for, but for playing grab ass with women, allegedly, which he denies. He had $6 million left over, so he's running for this office. He's out of gas, in my view. He has the second highest unfavorable ratings of the three candidates. Carlos Sliwa is substantially lower. The only guy I've ever seen worse.
So let me ask you in closing, what happens to Mondami then? So he's going to be the mayor. What happens to him?
I think he immediately is deified by the left, and he starts defunding the police and starts trying to collect the money to give free stuff to
illegals. And then New York descends into hell.
And he clashes with ICE, which is something that hasn't happened in New York, but will now happen in New York. Because remember, the mayor controls the police department. The police department here is already pretty
but
corrupted.
But they can't think that's a referendum to 2026 and 2028?
It is exactly that. That's why, while it's horrible for New Yorkers, it's going to give the American
people... Why does the left always only think one-dimensional? Why can't they think next order? I don't get that.
I don't think you're criticizing people who have systematically taken over the old Democrat Party of John F. Kennedy and Harry Truman.
So they feel emboldened. They, you know.
Turned it into a Marxist league.
So they think they're invincible.
Well, I mean, first of all, remember, these are people who are very sick with Trump derangement syndrome. So their political thinking is not all that straight. But to them, Bernie Sanders is a hero. And he's that tired old socialist windbag, is back for another cycle with his sidekicks, Jasmine Crockett and AOC. That is the face of the Democrat primary.
Well, good luck for them. All right, Roger, we'll talk to you soon. The War Room's coming up with Harrison Smith, StoneZone.com. Incredible job. And I want to come back on ABC. Great response. Number one show in the country now, syndicated radio. Great job, Roger Stone. Everybody find his information at StoneZone.com. All right. Harrison's about to take over. Look, the Democrats are on a suicide mission. They think they can take us with them. As long as we're not violent, we're loving, we tell the truth, we're going to win, okay? Just pray to Jesus. All right, I'm out of time. There's one variable that stops us from winning. This isn't hype. This show delivers. This is like the OG operation. Our guests, everything. Go to thealexjonesstore.com where Ultra Methylene Red, limited supply is there, up to 50% off when you sign up for auto ship, canceling time, is available. It supercharges Methylene Blue. We have the Methylene Blue, all of it discounted. The widest selection of Patriot apparel. We need your support. These products work. They only bring you things that absolutely work because we want you to love them and get them again and again. All you got to do is say, wow, this guy fights tyranny. The evil hates him. Why don't I support him? Because I love that less than 1% of the millions of viewers a day that actually buy something. I just sit back and go, God, imagine if the general public got off the bench and actually went to thealexjonesstore.com and wore an InfoWars shirt or a Trump shirt and saw the great response they got. 99% positive. The 100th person might kill you. It's an adventure to wear one. The point is, you don't have to go out and do that and buy a T-shirt. Just get Ultra Methylene Blue. Get Ultra Methylene Red, limited supply, just came out. Get it. It's going to sell it by Sunday at current sales rates. Get it now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Ultra Methylene Red. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Counseling time at $40 to spend instantly. Special deals, special offers, and more. Become a VIP if you buy anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But regardless of what you do, share the live feed for Alex Jones on X and Infowars.com/show. Harrison Smith takes over now on the Infowars feed.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight now.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. It's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action. Taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone. That is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to TheAlexJonesStore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at TheAlexJonesStore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.